Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to
say. Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right onto the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. You're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Things we wanted to discuss tonight, and we've got Lori Ann here, and Joseph Gibson is here right now too. He's in the chat room. But one of the things we wanted to discuss was, I went to the wrong freaking window. One of the things we wanted to discuss tonight was the comprehensive voter integrity laws, and Lori Ann went and put together a good thing, and it starts out with a press release, attention, and news and media outlets across America. Several podcasters on Blog Talk Radio are combining our voices in unison to demand that the 50 states enact, reform, and or repeal laws to model these proposed comprehensive voter integrity laws. Working together, using our internet alternative media platforms to address election laws and rules across the country, we emphasize our right to vote and to be confident that the elections, candidates, and legislation we vote for are free from fraud, corruption, and manipulation. In the past couple of elections, you cannot say that they were. We recognize, and that little part was my own, but we recognize there are numerous problems our country faces, which urgently needs to be addressed. Yet, at the very core of all of it is understanding that nothing meaningful can happen unless we first ensure that our elections and our votes are honest and secure. And there is another paragraph there, but I will leave that for Lori Ann to comment on. And Joseph, I think, raised
his hand. Yeah, you can go ahead and read the second part of it. That's kind of the press release slash intro part of it.
That
I added. And Joe Gibson kind of typed up an initial draft, and then I kind of took it and ran with it and restructured it and reworded it a bit. So, go ahead and read that second paragraph.
Okay, the second paragraph says, us Blog Talk Radio hosts, along with our listening audiences, will be contacting each state's legislators and election boards to demand these election integrity proposals be addressed and implemented prior to the 2024 election. And that's coming up, folks. We the people insist that each state prioritize making the needed changes, modeling these proposals promptly. Our Constitution of the United States solidifies we the people's right to free speech of the press and redress of grievances, which we intend to collectively utilize. Our ultimate goal is to restore our republic, which we all know the Democrats don't want. But first, our first step must be ensuring honest elections and that our vote actually does, in fact, count. And Lori, do you have that on your computer opened up?
Oh, I absolutely do. It's been open like all week long. Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll
be talking about this.
I had actually done the same thing you did, but you did a much better job. So I just kind of put mine off to the side. But these are good things to think about here because, you know, what is going on in our elections is the Democrats and a lot of the Republicans are sitting there thinking, well, we'll just do what we want because we're here in Washington, D.C. or in Santa Fe or Sacramento or wherever the heck you are, and you think that you're in charge. Well, you're not. And the problem comes in is that a lot of the people have allowed this to happen. Well, it's time that we, the people, start taking this back, because all this corruption that's going on now, and then we get stuff out of corruption out of Joe Biden and the things that he has done, and then he gets up on in front of the nation and in front of his microphone and says, oh, nothing of this ever happened. I don't know why everybody's saying this. Well, we're saying it because it's true. And the enacting of the comprehensive voter integrity laws, we've got written down as laws shall be modified as required prior to the 2024 election to include the rewritten laws must include adequate consequences for violators, for violations and violators. Well, that's where our problem comes in today, because there's no consequences to any of the actions that are going
exactly.
on. And
we can have all the laws that we want, but if those laws are violated and there's no consequences for doing so, then there's no point in having the laws to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got Joe Gibson in there. He hasn't said anything
yet.
I'm here.
I was just waiting my turn. I don't know where you are. Did you read everything already? Have you everything all read?
I got to the enact comprehensive voter integrity laws, and I read the first one. After that, I haven't done anything yet.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah,
we read the
press release, and we're just starting to get into the guts of it. And I'm glad
all
that
right,
you're here
so
that we
great.
Can go through this all together.
The first one I had read was the rewritten laws must include adequate consequences for the violations and violators.
That's correct. And then I'll just go to number two real quick. Election Day shall be a federal holiday, including midterm elections, exceptions to be made for special elections or recall elections. And this is a whole country thing. This is where our country makes the most important decisions that are going to shape the tomorrows. So I think, you know, we can have holidays, Valentine's Day and Easter and all this other nonsense. Then there's no reason why we can't add another holiday for Election Day. And it should be a holiday where everybody has off from work, or those are the people that can take off from work. You know, of course, essential workers can, you know, obviously you'll be paid to go vote. They like that. There's already put stipulations in for that, where if you're working, your boss has to let you go vote. So, you know, so, but if it's a holiday for most, which it should be, you know, there's no excuses, because we want to eliminate the corruption, and we want to eliminate the mail-in crap, you know, and ballot harvesting and all that other nonsense. There's no reason why we can't conclude everything in one day, you know, where we have the technology, we have the people, we have the knowledge, we have the capacity to go ahead and do everything in one day, have the results, and then, get to work the next day. There's no reason why this should be dragged out for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and then months and months before the election we're conducting voting. No. This has to stop.
That's for
exactly
very sure.
Right. You know, the only reason why it should be – the only reason why an election should ever be dragged out is when it's being contested or a recount is being done, that sort of thing. That's it. You know, not for just regular counting. Everything should be done on Election Day. Any anomalies reported and investigated can happen after the fact. But I agree. You know, no more waiting for 2 weeks to get the, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever to get the final tally and results in.
They used to do that all the time, and it didn't matter, and they didn't have any of this technology to make things faster, and they would still do it in one day. And with all this technology that they've got to be able to get everything faster, I don't see why they can't do it in one day.
Speaking of technology, electronic touchscreen and online voting is not permitted. That's it. No more of that nonsense. Gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that was the next one in there. The electronic touchscreen and online voting is not permitted.
Yeah.
And that's actually a good rule, because those three things right there, the electronic touchscreen and online voting is so rife with corruption and the ability to cheat. I mean, you've got people out there who essentially make a living out of hacking shit like this.
Yep. You got that right. You got that right. You know?
And if they can't get into it, you know, and if you're doing voting by paper ballot and you're the one who's writing it down, they can't hack that because it's not online. And essentially your voting machine should not be online anyway.
Correct. And then to also address it in the next one there, it says require use of hand-marked paper ballots that are number sequenced, watermarked, and with a MYLAR wrapped RFID insert, similar as our paper money is watermarked to detect counterfeit versus real. So there's no reason why. It's very important in our elections, so, you know, the money, they have that money protected. You can't. It's very hard to counterfeit money, you know, the American dollar. It's very hard.
And people, you know, people still try it, but they don't get very far because there are things in there that they can't do.
That's right. That's right. You know, so that's self-explanatory. Ballot production should be as secure as our currency. Ballot Integrity Project recommendations. This is modeled after the https://votefincem.com announcing the Ballot Integrity Project. So if you go there, look that up, folks, you can get a reflection of what it'll be modeled after what needs to be implemented. And again, people that are just tuning in or people that are listening or who are going to download this podcast, this is what we're going to be talking about, most of us now, for at least a couple of days, and we're moving forward with this because this is our republic. You know, we're doing our part. We're fighting. Are you going to do your part? Because, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just put the link for that in the chat room for the Ballot Integrity Project.
Yeah, we're doing our part. We're sticking our necks out here. We're taking our podcast shows and we're talking, you know, I mean, we talk about these issues anyway, but now we're doing some action work. We're doing some action, putting some work into it. Now, Lorianne and I have been working hard putting this together. So now, you know, and I'm not saying nobody, you know, we're nothing special, but I'm just saying now everybody else, look, we have to send this. I think the first state I'd like to go after is Georgia. I think we'll go there and then maybe on Tuesday go towards Florida and Oregon. You know, and then go from there. And then just no, we don't have to go each and every single state. We know what to do after that. I'm just want to make an example of the first few states to get the ball rolling. So everybody that's getting these messages or getting these emails, I hope you're not letting it go to waste. I hope you're calling and complaining and telling your Secretary of State or State Board of Elections to implement these things and also emailing it to them. I mean, email drive, when they get hundreds and hundreds or even thousands of emails, they will take notice. We can make change, man. We can start making change and make our voices worth something on these podcasts, you know, instead of just, I mean, I'm not saying it's not worth nothing, but what I'm trying to say is that we can make a difference here because we're always talking about these issues. We care, obviously, about our country. So let's make a difference. Let's make a change peacefully and lawfully. Use our First Amendment.
Yeah. And you know, that's something a lot of people just sit there and they think, well, I'm just one person that matter. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. You know, one person can change a lot of stuff if they go out and try it.
Yeah. And the next one, as a matter of fact, we want to go on here. Hand counting of all paper ballots for volunteers at counting tables with body cameras and full coverage room cameras in openly transparent environment, including during a recount of ballots. So we want everything to be transparent and recorded. We live in the information and technology age. There's no reason why you can't wear a body cam or a camera attached to you. The police do it nowadays. Cameras are everywhere. You walk into even a public library. For God's sake, they're probably even in the bathrooms everywhere now. So you know what? Cameras are everywhere, so we should wear body cameras. And anyone who's handling any type of ballots or handling anything that has to do with this country's future, you should be recorded. There should be transparency.
Mhm. Absolutely.
The next one would be any person. Excuse me. Any person who at any time handles, transports, stores, or counts ballots shall wear a body camera. I believe I already said that one, right? That's the one I read before.
Oh, that was the one before that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we talked about that one. All right, so full coverage room cameras required where ballots are counted, moved, stored, or shall be enabled for unrestricted public viewing, including during a recount of ballots. So basically, you know, transparency. We want to see transparency. I mean, look, man, this is our election. There's nothing to be hidden. You know, I don't want them to be looking at the news anchor. Let's be watching these people count the ballots, you know. I don't see why not.
Exactly.
All these stations,
you know? in full public viewing, you can have groups of people watching each and every body camera, you know, every district that's voting. You know, there can be groups of people monitoring what they're doing, you know, the individual body cameras as well as the room cameras with the bird's eye view. And any kind of shenanigans that goes on will be seen, you know, with that kind of thing. Let's allow we the people the ability in real time to supervise the counting of our ballots. You know, it's that simple.
Yep, that's right. In cases where a paper ballot cannot be properly read and counted, and an election official must hand duplicate the casted votes. Now, this happened to me when I was voting with my ballot. Actually, when I that happened with me, they had to redo it. Hand duplicate cast the ballots onto a new ballot. It must be video recorded and in clear view to ensure it is being duplicated correctly. The voter must be notified, provided with verification that their ballot was hand duplicated and the votes were correctly recorded. Now, when this person did this for me, I had two ballots now on the table. You know, it was me and that guy. Now, that guy was honest and I was honest, and we threw away the one that we didn't use, but still. If I was dishonest and I was trying to pull something, hell, he could have printed up another 10. You know, why not, right? I mean, that's how easy it's done.
Yep.
That's how easy the scams and the fraud can happen. You know, mm-hmm. What if I toss that guy
to the
water?
Oh, and then I'll bring
up
what
10.
Happened here in Clackamas County, Oregon. That was the biggest motivator for having this one right here with body cameras, is because in Clackamas, Clackamas County, Oregon, is the third largest county here in Oregon, mm-hmm. and it's a split county. So part of it is in the suburbs of Portland, and then it extends out into more rural areas and tends to be more conservative. And what happened was they sent out 250,000 ballots that they knew could not be read. The barcodes, the printing of them, the barcodes were not clear. So machines could not read them. The election official knew that they could not be read and decided to go ahead and send them out anyway. And so in Clackamas County, they had to redo 200,000 ballots, hand duplicate 200,000 ballots. And there was no oversight. There was no body cam video to watch, nothing. So there was no way for the voter to know for sure if their ballot was duplicated correctly or not. And if people remember, we vote on measures here, measures like the Measure 114 gun control, which is one of the strictest in the nation, that barely passed. Same thing with Measure 110, which decriminalized all drugs and takes money out of the legal marijuana fund and it's supposed to put it into drug treatment programs and such. That's been mishandled and it's been, you know, it's backfired on us. So and that barely passed as well. So those were two measures that passed only by a small margin. And when we have cases like that, Clackamas County comes to mind on how easily it would be, by manipulating the ballot for the third largest county in Oregon to flip the vote on any number of these measures or on the candidates and manipulate the outcome that way. So this one is really important to me.
Okay. We have one person in the queue for the phones that from the 305 area code who has raised their hand. So Just brought them in.
All right.
Hey, hey, y'all. It's Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, good, good. Yeah, Joseph sent me a text about your show, so I thought I'd tune in and just let you know I'm here.
Well, that's good. Good to see you here.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Mike, if you don't, you know what we're doing right now, right? We're going over the email that we've worked on and the voter integrity, because we want to tackle
right.
The voting first. I know, you know, there's many issues, you know that, but we figured we'd focus like a laser beam on this one first and see what we can do for damage out there. See if we can make some changes or make some noise out there across the country, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess since this is a recorded broadcast and maybe some other people will hear it, I mean, I'll just throw my 2 cents in, and you know, and Joe, you know my position on it. I'm absolutely convinced that more and more Americans are waking up to this reality, but far too few are aware of the fact that the government that they think is their government is a corporation. It's not the Republic of the United States of America. It's a corporate entity. The presidents and all the politicians are working for them. They're not working for the people. They're all paid for, all of them. There's a particular group of individuals that pay all the politicians, literally pay them to do their agenda. So whatever their agenda is, that's what's going to go through. So even if you change the mind of one voter, even if you win over one senator or congressperson, you know, it's meaningless in the scope of the reality that they have total control over the government. They are communists. They do have a New World Order, One World Government agenda. They have infiltrated and hijacked the government of the United States of America, and they have control. So really the only hope is for more and more people to wake up and, you know, and at least investigate and study the issues that have been brought forth by people like Anavon Wrights and David Strait and the America's Assemblies and all the other different people out there that are bringing to the attention the fact that there is a republic, there is a corporation, and the corporation is what's running the show. So, you know, and I know you're running, yourself, Joe, with the idea of you're going to get in there and at least you're a good guy that's trying to get in there and make a difference. But brother, even if you got in, even, you know, hope you do, you know, even if and when you do get in there, you'll just be the one outcast vote going against what their agenda calls for, because the vast majority of the politicians are literally bought and paid for, and there's nothing we can do.
But I love those odds, Mike. I love those odds. You know what? I like those odds. I'm an underdog, and that's why we're going to need the people to stand behind me, and we're going to hopefully get a few more candidates out there that'll win, and it's got to start off. We're going to infect them. We're going to infect that freaking corporation, and we're going to usurp them and restore our republic. That's my plan.
I know, and I appreciate that. I didn't mean to inject such a negative, pessimistic view into it, but to me, it's not negative and pessimistic. It's just it's reality, and I think the reality needs to be spoken more and more often.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed a couple of weeks ago, I did a thing where we had a black pastor who came to my church and gave a sermon, and I played his whole sermon on the show. And he talked about how he goes around the country and goes to these teacher I can't even think of the name of it anymore, Lorianne. You mentioned it, but where they go in and talk to the school boards and telling them how they got to stop indoctrinating our kids with stuff. Well, what he did yesterday, I think he was in North Carolina, and he was reading from a book that they had that was available for the children to read. And he was reading from that book and got kicked out of the meeting because what he was reading was too sensitive for the adults to hear. And so we've got people like him who's out there fighting for us, and he's doing it from the local level, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's actually the ultimate answer is the local level, because that's when you know that we, the people, are waking up, because they're starting to do things in their communities on a local level to make the change that needs to be taking place on a local level. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a whole lot I've become familiar with over the last 2 years that I never knew about. I know millions of other people have woken up, but just not enough, at least not at this point. You know, and it's, again, I don't want to throw too much of a, you know, negative vibe into it, but it's...
No, speak the truth.
Yeah, well, it's not pleasant, you know, what we're dealing with in this world, the systems of this world. I mean, just the systems of the world themselves are so criminal and corrupt and evil. You know, they have all this, you know, superficial jargon they use to try to justify it, economics and, you know, supply and demand and inflation. That's all bullshit. The systems are corrupt. People are doing nothing more than living to work and pay bills, to pay the overpriced mortgages, overpriced car payments, overpriced gas, overpriced electric bills, overpriced grocery. They literally got people stuck where they just live to try to, if they work, you know, they're just working to pay bills that are completely ridiculously overpriced, so that they're just strapped and they can't do anything. And it, of course, it affects on the family, because then it's not about, you know, a dad going out and working and providing for his family. They did away with that a long time ago. Now it's mom and dad both having to go work to try to pay bills. Kids being left at home with the television and the internet and the phone to educate them and indoctrinate them with all the crap and smut and perversion and godlessness and immorality that's put out into society through all forms of media and through all the self-destructive social trends they've established. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Joe knows my pet peeve is, you know, as a man who became a born-again Christian many years ago, I'm not a church-going guy now, and I have a very open mind about what Christianity may or may not be. You know, I there's no question in my mind that there was a man on this earth 2,000 years ago that people call Jesus Christ, and the word is that was an incarnation of God in the flesh. And if that's the case, so be it. He lived an example on how people are supposed to live, but nobody's doing that. And no. aside from that, he's late if he's coming back, like everybody says in the Christian realm. Oh, the second coming. This world is so corrupt and perverted and sick and out of control that, in my humble opinion, he's late. And that's not blasphemy. And that's
I know, but they say, oh, you haven't seen nothing yet. How more worse could it get? I mean,
right.
World War II, exactly. 100 million people dead. I mean, what do we need, a billion, Lord?
Right, exactly. That's why, to me, a righteous army, absolutely. I've said it before, and you know it, Joe. Every night my prayer is that, because I've done my part. I mean, I've made the change. I mean, my prayer every day is, I acknowledge you. I thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for letting me overcome. I'm an overcomer. We all know what the scriptures say about overcoming. He who overcometh, the same shall sit with me. You know, it is about overcoming. That's my whole life was about overcoming. I'm an overcomer, and I thank God I did. I've overcome. So now I'm sitting here pretty much a loner in the world, you know, with the handful of others that I know are like-minded are spread out throughout the nation. But, you know, there's none in my household. There's none in my community. There's none in my neighborhood. There's none in my city other than a handful that, who knows. People are just caught up in their frivolous, self-destructive lifestyle, self-destructive social trends, stupid television, ignorant, stupid, brainwashing, one-eyed monster called the television, the radio, the music. It's all crap. People are just into their basketball, football, getting jabbed just so they can go see a football game or get in a stadium, you know, just submitting to the beast, you know, just yielding to it, not standing up for their dignity and their rights. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a loner, and in my opinion, you know, he's late, so therefore we better do something. So, I mean, every night my prayer is, God, please wake me up. Let, you know, say to me, well done, faithful servant. You sought me, you overcame, and you're disgusted with all the evil corruption and criminality and evilness, and you know what it is, and I know what it is, here's your list. Your Vaman is outside. Here's your powerful sword and shield. Go to this location, and there'll be about 100 other like you, and go take care of business, you know, and we'll be going around in our Vaman.
I honestly feel this, actually. If I don't, you know, with the public office running and everything, I feel it's my duty. And if I don't win, I've already got a plan. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to look for these kids that are that are trafficked or whatever, or these evil out there. I'm going to hunt it down. I'm going to put together a team with my contacts, and we're going to go out there, and I'm going to look for this. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it, but whatever way the light leads me, I know in my life that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something along those lines. I'm going to hunt down evil, and I'm going to search it out and destroy it somehow, some way, and I'm going to expose it. And how you destroy evil is you expose it to light and truth. That's how you destroy it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. You know, I almost did it back in a few years ago when Sean Rowe and a few special forces guys called into my show, and we were going to put together a team to go fight ISIS. And we actually, they were on the O'Reilly Factor and got a lot of funding, actually, to do it. But the Obama administration said, you go over there without our permission, it's against the law. We're going to arrest you when you come back. You know, that's how evil the Obama was. That's how evil, you know. We're going to have veterans. Our United States veterans, okay, going to go over to help out to save the Christians that were getting their heads chopped off by ISIS. But you can't do that unless we orchestrate it, you know. I mean, who the hell are you, you know, to tell us what we can do in another country, you know. But that's how evil they are. That's how evil the system is. They got to control you. They own you. You know, it's a big club. You're not in it. You know, it's the same club they beat you over the head every day with, telling you what to believe.
Okay,
and we got to wake up.
Yeah. So where we leave off on that thing is, I think the next one was ballots must have complete chain of custody documentation to include the election official's name, address, phone number, and state driver's license.
I'm not
and state
sure.
ID
where,
number.
Yeah, I think that's where we left off, yeah. You see, ballot production should be secure as currency. Yeah, pretty much. Hand counting, paper ballots. Yeah, any person who at any time handles, okay. Full coverage, room cameras, okay, yep, in case we were paper ballot. Yeah, that's it. Each voter precinct must not have more than 3,000, voters that are the electors or workers, I guess you could say. I don't know what that's modeled after, but that was in there. So I guess
it's modeled after having a smaller precinct.
So
smaller, manageable precinct of 3,000 voters, you know, or district. So that's a way to ensure that, hey, we can count these votes. We're not having truckloads of ballots coming in. When there's only 3,000 voters per district, they can be quickly counted, accurately counted, and managed.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. And so I have valid state ID is required of each voter that includes their current address in which they reside for voters who do not have a driver's license or valid photo ID. The voter must provide his or her current address in which they reside, birth date, and last four digits of Social Security number when voting in person. And only U.S. citizens are allowed to vote in state and federal elections. None of this amnesty or illegals or work visa people or whatnot. Nope, you've got to be a United States citizen. I know, you know, I mean, that's just the way it's got. I know corporate citizens, this and that, and you know, I don't want to get into that, but that's, I think everyone knows what I'm talking about, you know. Mail-in ballots
are
available.
You know,
state is
included on that because there's a lot of states that are pushing for illegals, non-citizens, to be able to vote in state elections.
Yeah.
Just not federal elections.
New Mexico's one.
Yeah, isn't that something? You know? Well, unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. Mail-in ballots are only available to voters who cannot physically vote in person for employment-related reasons or documented health reasons. Active duty members of the military, especially those deployed outside the United States, should be prioritized so their ballots are mailed out first and only allowed adequate time to receive them back. Okay? I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Come on, man. We got to use common sense. That's basically what it's all about here. You know, I think anyone can figure that one out, right? Mail-in ballots require signature verification by county election board staff. In the presence of the public, mail-in ballots are required to be hand-counted in the same manner as an in-person ballot and only on election day, right? I mean, I think that's pretty powerful right there. It gets rid of the corruption that was going on in the last election.
You give them more time, and then they're going to think up new ways to get you.
Yeah. Mail-in ballots along with the signatures must be retained for a minimum of 1 year after the election. This way here, you know, that throwing away, or they shred them, and then, you know, we can't, you know, the hanky-panky, you know, the evidence is gone, you know? Got to be, you know, 1 year. For voters who vote in mail-in ballot, the state shall implement a secure website which the registered voter can log in to verify that their ballot was received, their ballot has been counted on election day, confirm the votes that have been recorded, notify the voter there were any problems counting their vote, or if their ballot needed to be hand-duplicated onto another ballot, and state the reason why, along with providing a means to view the body cam video footage of the election official performing the hand-duplication, and provide instructions on how to report any errors of votes voter cast versus what was recorded, because this was a big problem again the last election with the ballot harvesting, with the duplicate ballots, with the mail-in ballots. We're trying to do away with all that with common sense here. I think that's pretty self-explanatory again. State voter registration systems require qualified database analysis who provide recommendations for the structure, security, encryption, and maintenance of the database with proper audit controls. State voter registration databases must be regularly scrubbed of those who are deceased, have been moved out of state, or otherwise no longer qualified to vote for the reasons by law, at least biannually, but preferably quarterly. Keep the darn stuff up to date. There's no reason. I mean, these people ain't doing nothing down there most of the year.
And, you know, I was on Action Radio, Greg Penglis's show this morning. And one of the proposals that he has on his site, you know, Action Radio, I'm tinkering with this idea because his proposal was that December 31st, all voter registrations are purged, and everybody must go in and re-register or renew their voter registration. So every year, boom. December 31st, everything gone. You want to vote? You re-register to vote. If you're at the same address, it's easy, just like renewing your driver's license. We can already go online. We can do our, you know, voter registration, plug in all our information, boom, done. If we've moved or something, then, of course, that's already taken care of as well, because you have most states, you have to update your driver's license or update your ID address within like 90 days or something anyway. So when people move, they're already updating their driver's license information at the same time that can also, you know, at the same time can also update voter registration with your address, you know, or re-register. And that I thought that was kind of a good idea too. That takes a hell of a lot of work out of doing all this database scrubbing and cross-referencing it with databases on, you know, death certificates and things like that. If it's all scrubbed December 31st and wiped out, and everybody has to re-up their registration, then that solves the problem right there.
And it gets everybody involved more in the election process, too, instead of just taking it for granted.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're absolutely right.
So, but I can see, you know, why people might have some issues with that. You know, that might be a harder thing to implement. But, you know, right now, most state laws say that they're supposed to be scrubbing these things, but yet they don't. You know, there's always pushback. There's always, you know, people, they don't want to pay people to do the work of doing this scrub. And so most of the states are severely, severely out of date voter registration databases. That's how ballots go out to dead voters. That's how the fraud happens, because the states simply aren't scrubbing or cleaning up their databases.
Yep. So we got that's pretty much self-explanatory. Yeah, we get on them on that. Let's see. State voter registration is maintained at the county level in each county self-contained server database, computer system, and backup, not at the state level. State voter registration election data must not be stored in the cloud. That's very, very
Absolutely.
Important. That's how all your hacking happens. Qualified database analysis must review the maintenance of each county voter registration data, computer systems, and provide a biannual update into the Election Oversight Committee. We kind of actually redundant again, kind of just backing up what was already said. County boards of election are to be bipartisan with two members of each registered qualified political party and the chairperson to be appointed by the county board of commissioners. Common sense there. State, county, and local government and their employees are prohibited from applying for and accepting monetary and in-kind donations. Can't be bought off. You know, can't be given gifts. Recall of any person holding a public office of state, county, or local government, including state and county board of election, either by election or appointment, modeled after Montana's Recall Act. Okay, Montana's got a good recall act up there, so figured to put that one in there. It's the best one in the country, actually. There's been some thought put into this, people, so it's not something that we just, threw together. So any person holding a public office of the state or any of its political subdivision, either by election or appointment, is subject to recall from office. I think that's good right there. Gives us a chance to get them out of office. You know, they don't do their job or they do something wrong or we catch them. Or they don't, we catch them, breaking these rules. That's it. They're gone. A public office holding an elective office may be recalled by the qualified electors entitled to vote for an elective officer's successor. A public officer holding an appointive office may be recalled by the qualified electors entitled to vote for the successor or successors of the elective office or officers who have the authority to appoint a person to that position. So that's pretty self-explanatory there. You can get tongue-tied on these things when you're trying to explain it to successors.
Yeah,
we
have so many offices that are appointed, and we have no way to go, hey, this person's corrupt. They weren't voted in. They were appointed by somebody. And so we need a way to be able to recall those people as well. So that's the purpose and intent behind that one.
Yeah, and as of right now, there's a lot of these people cannot be gotten rid of.
Yeah, think about that, people, mental lack of fitness, incompetence to perform duties of office, violation of oath of office, official misconduct, or conviction of a felony offense are the only grounds for a recall. A person may not be recalled for performing a mandatory duty of the office that the person holds or for not performing any act that it is performed would subject the person to prosecution for official misconduct. So basically, if he's doing his job, he can't be told, thrown out of office, I mean, we want them to do their job, right? I mean, that's the cool key here. Let's see here. Where electronic or touchscreen voting machines are used due to time needed to change applicable laws. Any electronic or touchscreen voting machine being used to record votes is required to produce a paper copy receipt verifying the recorded votes, one copy for the vote voter to keep and one copy to securely stored for at least 1 year after an election treated similarly as if it were a paper casted ballot included thoroughly chain of custody process in the event of a recount or other verification needs by election officials. Any electronic or touchscreen voting machine shall be thoroughly tested to ensure accurate recording of vote cast. At all testing and certification must be completed no later than 2 weeks prior to election day. No software firmware update shall be performed on any electronic or touchscreen voting machine within 2 weeks of the election day, nor an election day while votes are being cast, nor before all votes cast have been recorded, counted, or verified. Again, trying to stop the fraud and scams and people, sneaking around doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing. I mean, it's just common sense. Any electronic or touchscreen voting machine shall not use nor have a wireless network card installed. Only Ethernet cable connections are allowed for use of needed software or firmware updates prior to 2 weeks before election day or election day while votes are being cast. Any electronic or touchscreen voting machine shall have a camera or cameras cable of 360-degree video coverage that shall record any inactivity of persons interacting with it. exceptions for ensuring the privacy of the voter actually casting their votes. Cameras shall be turned on and produce a live public feed 2 weeks prior to an election through the end of election day when their use for casting votes is complete and casted votes have been counted. Any electronic or touchscreen voting machine shall not have its internally stored recording of casted votes cleared or deleted until 6 months after the election and counting of votes cast. In the case it is needed, such as a recount or a contested election, in order to verify and compare the stored paper copies of casted votes matching that of the machine's internally stored casted votes. Let's see here. I think that's it right there.
That's it.
What do you think, guys?
I think that's great.
And I included, even though we're trying to eliminate the use of electronic or touchscreen voting machines, a lot of states use them. We might not have enough time, you know, our states might not have enough time to eliminate their use, especially if they've been using them for years and years. So in that case, that's why I wanted to put these stipulations in there. And what comes to mind is New York. New York, despite complaints and grievances and concerns, have approved touchscreen voting machines that do not produce a paper receipt.
Right.
And so those are going to be absolutely, prone for fraud. If those touchscreen voting machines don't even give you a paper copy to confirm that the votes that you cast are correct, that right there is just ripe for fraud. And if anybody is allowed to just stick a USB drive into the side of the machine and update its firmware or do a software update, you know, that's way too easy to be able to do. That's why I put in there only an Ethernet cable. Only Ethernet is the only way. It's a hell of a lot harder to just walk up to a machine, plug in the Ethernet cable into the internal network to perform these things without being caught. But to be able to just go into the side of it real quick, stick in a USB drive, a quick update, and, 30 seconds, it's done. And that'll flip votes and things. So that's the whole intent behind this. And no wireless cards at all. Not even, don't even install them. They don't even, if the voting machine already has a wireless card inside of it, it can, remove it. And that way there is absolutely no capability for that machine to be connected via Wi-Fi to the internet or internally in the internal network, nothing. It can only be done via Ethernet cable. That is one way to keep it secure.
Yep. And, look, we're hoping everybody now participates. We'd like to start off going after Georgia. Start with Georgia first, and then after that, everybody, look, we're going to do all 50 states, obviously, but, Georgia first. We're not nobody's parents here. You guys are all grown-ups. You guys are fighting for our republic, supposedly. You love our country. You want to fight for our country. Look, start emailing this stuff to these people. Start calling them. Doing it now, tomorrow, the next day, Monday, Tuesday. Start. And let's get it done. Everybody that's listening, every show, every podcast show, we'll reiterate this for the next week or so. And, not the whole thing, go over the list again. We don't have to do all that. But at least talk about it a little bit. I mean, we have plenty to talk about, but talk about this and make sure we implement this. And I'm going to call these people live on my podcast. I'm going to try to call all 50 states throughout the next couple of weeks on my podcast. And do that, and call these state election boards live on my podcast, and say we demand that these changes be made. We the people, we're in charge, not them. So, and I'm hoping everybody else will participate, and because we're fighting here, sticking our neck out, and we're trying to fight for your rights, and we're hoping you'll fight with us, and together we can make a change and restore our republic.
Absolutely. And I know it's going to take some effort, guys. This isn't going to be easy. You have to focus not just on your own state. We all need to be collectively communicating, calling, emailing, sending this out to each and every state, you got to look up, you know, who are the people in their state election board, who are their state legislators, look them up,
yeah,
and contact them. You know, so we have to be focused, you know, it is going to take some effort, you know, to be honest, to look all these people up and contact them in each and every state. But that is what's needed. If we have 20 people, 30 people, 50 people, however many people that we can get to do this, here in Blog Talk, the host and our listeners all doing this.
Oh, God.
And
yeah,
each and every state is
in,
getting all of these, you know, so many people sending this to them, then it might actually get some attention. But if you're only focused on your own state, then
yeah,
you're only going to get a small handful, and it can easily be ignored.
Yeah. If all the listeners from each show, your show, my show, this show here tonight, the American Statesman, Donnie C., all these shows that are on board with this, that say they're supporting us, Ron Reck there, I see him in the chat room, all these listeners that we got, everyone's got their own crew of listeners that are faithful to them, and we get that, you know, and we've been participating in other shows, you know, and everybody's been doing the same, so, you know, and to build up everybody's audience so that we can have a powerful voice here, and we're the alternative media, that's what we call ourselves, so let's use it for something. You know, I mean, that's what I say. Let's use the power that we have before they take it from us and we don't have nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to mention. You know, the longer we wait to do this, the harder it's going to be and the more work it's going to take from us.
Yeah. Yeah. Just imagine if we did this during this last election. Maybe it would have made a difference. Who knows? You know, just think, we wouldn't be in the position we're in now. You know, you never know. So let's just, you know, pick up the fight. You know, let's get in the fight and do this. I know Sarge had an announcement to make about Georgia. I know that because there was some corruption that he exposed. I don't know if he's on here yet. I know we talked about it earlier.
I'm here. I just been listening because all these proposals I'm hearing are so sound. I just want to hear everything you guys have done. I don't want to interrupt or anything. Man, everything's being covered here. Just about that needs to be done to the maximum extent possible, minimize, of course it won't eliminate, but it will minimize the likelihood of determinative fraud in an election outcome, and this is great. But I think something else we have to keep in mind is people are going to ask, what if we see, these sweeping changes? Why is this necessary? Is this really necessary to go through all these sweeping changes in the election? And I think in order to convince people, we're going to have to provide them.
Sarge, your phone is terrible. It's going in and out, in and out.
Yeah, okay, well, again, I think we're going to provide people with certified examples of existing fraud to convince them to go along with what we want to do. Because a lot of people just think this really isn't necessary. And after all, you take the state of Michigan, our attorney general and our Secretary of State assured us it was the cleanest election in Michigan's election voting history. And that's why I want to bring up to you what just came out about the state of Michigan. I'm telling you right now, Michigan is governed by a coven of witches. You got Gretchen Whitmer, you got Dana Nessel, and you got Jocelyn Benson. Dana Nessel is the Attorney General. And Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson is the other one. And that triumvirate is literally a coven of witches. Have you heard what happened in Michigan? Let me tell you, and this is what we need to be able to have at our fingertips to convince people why there is a need for election integrity. Now, there's a guy named Philip O'Halloran. He's the Michigan Republican Director of Election Integrity. It's not a government agency. It's an organization of concerned citizens working for election integrity in Michigan. And he gave the Gateway Pundit a Michigan State Police report that was FOIA, you know, Freedom of Information Act, by a Michigan resident who questioned the outcome of a race in the 2020 election. Now, the report is based on an investigation that was started on October 8, 2020. And get this now, listen carefully. It was taken over by the FBI in 2022. Now, this is going to really blow you out of your socks. Listen to this now. Now, after they published the report, this Michigan State Police report, they exposed a massive cover-up by the Democratic Attorney General, Dana Nessel, one of these witches I was telling you about, and the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, of this investigation statewide by the Michigan State Police and the Muskogee, Michigan Police Department. The Gateway Pundit got tips from individuals who read the story, and they wanted to help close the gaps in the Michigan State Police Report, which is very highly redacted, but is available online. Now, the whistleblower who got in touch with Gateway Pundit explained they didn't want to be identified because they were fearing retribution by elected officials in Michigan, which is always the case. They confirmed the details of the police reports, Michigan State Police and the Muskogee Police, that were, and they said they were accurate, but there was a lot more to the story than just this story that those reports revealed about one city clerk in Detroit or getting boxes of suspicious voter registration. This guy said clerks across the state of Michigan had gotten boxes and priority mail envelopes stuffed with registration, many of them with the exact same signature, the same last four numbers of the Social Security number, fake names, and fake addresses. And these clerks had a private Facebook page where they were talking to each other about it. Are you hearing me now?
I sure am.
These clerks were talking to each other about this clear fraudulent activity they were seeing, and it went beyond just this already certified and well-reported Michigan State Police, Muskogee Police, and by the way, the FBI being informed of it and advised to get in it and look at it from a federal level. So we need to get these things to people and tell them, this is why we need these election surveillance, if anybody doubts the need for it, and there will be people who say none of this is necessary.
Yep.
Lots of them. Because they want to make it easy. A lot of them will be Democrats or politicians who are interested in being able to cheat and to alter elections much easier. And all of these initiatives are going to make that much more difficult. There are people who have a vested interest in making elections easier to cheat in. We just got to accept that too.
Yep, absolutely.
And what's going on in Michigan is stunning. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. And you're not hearing anything about the mainstream press coverage. Remember, we've got three official law enforcement, the highest level police agency in the state of Michigan, another one, a large city in Michigan investigating, and of course, the Federal Bureau of Incompetence, or should I say insurrectionists. I don't know which one you want to pick.
Okay, I just added, I think, Mike to the phone. He raised his hand.
Hi, guys. You're right. You're right. I mean, I'm surprised because of what you're just saying, Sarge. This is the same stuff they would indict if Trump would bring it up. This is the same stuff that they would indict Trump for saying. In fact, I think he said something like that about Michigan at one point. And I'm surprised that the idiots that are running Michigan haven't indicted him over it, you know? So, yeah, this is a big deal, and you're not seeing it in the press. It is a huge deal.
Yeah, they're hiding.
And remember, we've got examples of this in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Arizona, in Georgia. There are five or six states where this is really going on. Five or six states where this is really rampant. And we've got example after example after example with corroborative evidence leading to indications of fraud. We don't have to make things up. We don't have to allege conspiracies. All we got to do is show the anomalous evidence that should indicate to anyone with a fair, objective ability to reason that there's evidence of fraud. All we got to do is that. And I'm telling you, we need to start documenting and collecting as much evidence as possible so when it comes time to convince people of the necessity of these changes, we'll be able to show them why.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Key point right there. That's good. The evidence. Always keep, because you're right, because you're going to have the zombies out there and the deniers. Whoa. No, you can't do that. You know, you can't arrest Hillary Clinton. You can't arrest this prosecutor. That's racist. You know, because, you know, but we'll have, you know how they always play the racist card. But we'll have evidence, documented evidence. Because you never know what's going to happen. We don't know. This country is so unstable right now. It's divided right in half. You never know what could happen. You know? Mm-hmm. Remember, we got the nut jobs working against us, and we got the New World Order thugs working against us. So, you know, we could end up with nothing here, you know. I mean, they could destroy the whole planet.
Absolutely.
For all, you know.
I mean, and what makes – and this is all – I'm not completely off the topic, but remember the whole thing about the machines and switching votes and all the printers and this happened like in several states and particularly in Arizona, and they had a bunch of affidavits by different people saying that something happened with my vote and it was illegal or
I got over 30 affidavits, yeah, from Michigan.
Yeah. And yeah. And the people who want the election to go through says, well, you really can't trust affidavits. Wait a minute. An affidavit is you stating something that happened under penalty of perjury,
yep.
Right? And perjury, mm-hmm. You can be put in jail for perjury, right? So,
I don't know about anymore nowadays.
Well, if you're Republican, not if you're a Democrat.
Right. But again, these are people that were under threat of perjury saying this happened, and the mainstream media and other people did not want to hear it. They discount these affidavits all over the place.
That's right.
You know, and it's like, why are you discounting affidavits saying that this stuff happened, that this stuff that could lead to fraud happened, and why are you discounting it? Because they want the election to go through. That's why they discounted it.
Well, we know. I mean, we knew what was going on.
Yeah.
We knew the election. You know, come on. We know everything. We know what's happened. We know there's no. You know, the point of it being is let's not let it happen again. Let's not let history repeat itself.
If you guys don't mind, I'd like to elaborate a little bit on what happened in Michigan. Now you got to remember. For 3 years, Michigan residents were told by Attorney General Dana Nessel and Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson they didn't have anything to worry about because Michigan's 2020 election was the most secure election in history. So, and of course they would suggest and admonish anybody that any sort of suggestion of widespread voter fraud that took place in Michigan or in other swing states where every vote mattered to a party hell-bent on pushing a confused old man campaign for his base. They told people to believe that they were telling the truth. There was no widespread fraud in Michigan to ignore any evidence they saw or any stories they read around left-wing judges throwing election fraud cases out of court because they're all part of a big lie concocted by Donald Trump and all of his followers to make Joe Biden look illegitimate. Now, get this now. The original case that came forward, this is how it came about. The one I was telling you about that led to the Michigan State Police and the Muskegon Police report. One Michigan clerk was now retired, posted an image of what her fellow clerks called a care package. That's what I'm putting out. I'm saying that quote, like quote, care package, unquote, from a left-wing campaign and organizing group that went by the name GBI Strategy And other times they call themselves Empower Michigan. Now, the clerks were reporting that they got what they call care packages from this outfit. It was GBI Strategies Bunch. And several of them were on a first-name basis. They also referenced something called EM, or Empower Michigan, which you could kind of interchange with GBI Strategy, same outfit. I'm not sure what GBI stands for. Anyway, it's a group that works to ensure voter turnout. That's what their ostensible goal is, to try to get as many people to turn out for elections as possible, including probably the dead, resurrected and dead and everything else. Anyway, this woman talked about this care pack she was getting at, and then they started this Facebook page. And this, I'm looking at this private Facebook page, with their names redacted. She said it's on October 5th, 2020. Why are we getting all these voter registrations from Auburn Hill? We received 2 stacks today. Now, this is totally inconsistent with this woman's 15, 16, 17 years of working in this. She's never seen anything like this before. Never in this kind of numbers before. And then another clerk chimed in and said she received similar fraudulent voter registration applicants from the same address that GBI was using. And another clerk came forward and identified herself as named Ann Meisch. Knew the answer in the post comments because Meisch was on a first-name basis with GBI Strategies and Power in Michigan. She was a clerk who notified police that she got over 10,000 suspicious and fraudulent voter registrations sent to a Muskegon office from GBI Strategy. This is just one clerk. 10,000 suspicious but fraudulent-looking activities. This is what she said on the Facebook page. I got one for another city that lacked lots of info. Same return address and writing. Interesting. Mine only had 2, but they do look fraudulent. Both are already registered voters. One doesn't know if they're male or female. The other doesn't know how to spell their own name. If you look up the address, it's a hotel. That's a reply. I just posted on this one, too. We got a huge box, and many look fraudulent. And again, all throughout this lion witch, this Nestle, the lion attorney general, kept telling everybody, everything's on the up and up, most secure election ever in the history of the state of Michigan. And despite all the fact that they knew about what the clerks were saying. I mean, I'm looking at the package right now. A post by Ann Meisch on October 5th, 2020, including a photo of the package she received, along with photos showing the signatures and unregistration that appear to be all in the same handwriting inside the box. I'm looking at it. It's the same. I'm not a graphologist, but I know that's the same signature by the same person. And she shared that the care package she got was from an address of the Staybridge Motel in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and the name on the return address was EM, Empower Michigan. And another clerk responded in the comments among, remember, there's a bunch of this, dozens, hundreds of these comments. This is what she had to say in private among her fellow clerks on this private Facebook page. Wasn't that much of a conspiracy theory, but it sure seems like there's been a lot of fishy stuff going on that pushed this election in jeopardy. Man, I'm telling you. We got to be able to tell people why we need to do it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I was going to talk about tonight was my update that I did this last Thursday was essentially about why New Mexico cannot get and keep businesses to come in without giving them big incentives. And some of the things that happened that I talked about on Thursday was just amazing. And one of them was this land developer came out of Arizona to try and develop a huge tract of land on the west side of Albuquerque by the freeway and Unser Road. And while they were having their meeting, some guy came walking in asking for help, holding his stomach, and he had been shot in the stomach. And the guy who was heading the meeting says, nope, this is it. New Mexico, you're done. I don't want to be part of this. And he pulled out.
And well, you know, just a little while. Oh, go ahead, man. Go ahead and finish up.
Well, I was pretty much done, but that's pretty much why one of the things that we've got to try and get these idiots that we have in our offices out because they're not doing good for the United States. They're doing good for themselves, and that's it. They don't care about anybody else.
But listen to this from Michigan, that you guys, you know, one of the reforms you're talking about is there had to be significant, meaningful consequences when people are convicted of violating election law. Now listen to this. This is from Michigan. Again, the same witch, Dana Nessel. Now, she'd been previously begrudgingly. She didn't want to do this, but there was so much evidence she didn't have no other choice. She got shamed into prosecuting an election fraud when it was committed by a Democrat. She prosecuted a woman, a Southfield City Clerk, Southfield, Michigan, named Sharika Hawkins. She was caught changing 193 ballots in the 2020 election. Now, she was charged with six felonies. A judge removed five of the six charges shortly before she ran for re-election. The charges were added back after this woman won re-election. And then years after being caught committing multiple counts of voter fraud, she finally stood trial, and she was sentenced. You know what her sentence was? Are y'all ready for the sentence for committing election? You know what her sentence was? She was convicted now, yes, but it was a sentence. One day in jail and a fine of under $1,000.
God. And that's where everybody is.
This is what we're up against, folks.
And that's where everybody is constantly.
Big uphill climb. This is a big mountain we got to climb here.
Yep, and as long as we keep those consequences away from these evil people who are not following our laws, they're going to continue to do so.
And we're looking at this all throughout the places where there's controversies about these elections. Again, it isn't all of the states. We've got to make that clear. It's a few of them, significant swing states with lots of electoral votes. That's where it's going on, where they are inhabited and infested with Democrat officials. Let's just be straight up about this one. We can blame both parties on a lot of things, but not this sort of massive electoral fraud. Republicans are guilty of not doing anything to stop it. The Democrats are engineering it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Right, and look, all the election fraud, the history of election fraud in the United States, who's always you know, engineered it? It's been the Democrats going
always.
Even further back than maybe 1960, you know, with JFK when he got elected. There was always question about how JFK got elected, right? Against Nixon. So, I mean, that is part and parcel with the Democratic Party. They are a party of criminality. That's what they are.
Yeah. There's no doubt in 1960 Nixon admitted to that. I can't think of this British interviewer's name who interviewed him about this. He's a well-known British, David something. I can't think of the last name. Anyway. And Nixon admitted that he knew about the fraud and that he had a case to bring for the court to try to get the election reversed, overturned, or at least questioned seriously. But he said he didn't want to put the country through all that turmoil, and he was reasonably confident that the country would be secure in the hands of a John F. Kennedy-type Democrat, which is absolutely not true to me. There's no relation between the Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy and the one that exists today. It's literally like night and day. Comparatively. And that, I don't think if Nixon or anybody else similar to Nixon with his temperament was to be faced with the same sort of situation, they more likely than not he would behave exactly as Donald Trump.
Yep.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. I've always said this. Neither JFK nor RFK would be Democrats today. Now, they might not be Republicans, but they wouldn't be Democrats. As the Democratic Party has consisted of today, they would not be Democrats today.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah. This Democratic Party is another species of animal altogether. It is anti-American. It is anti-Constitution. It is utterly corrupt. It is peopled and influenced by people who are almost insanely demonic. They believe things that are literally rejections of all reason, truth, and rational belief systems. I never see anything like
this. They have no rational belief.
Yeah, the only thing that they actually believe in is that if they're not telling the truth, that we all believe they're telling the truth, and if we go against them, then we're the liars, and we're the ones who are saying things that are wrong, and we need to be punished.
They're the biggest projectionists ever since the movie camera was invented. Nobody projects more than the Democrats. Nobody. They project on everyone else the very things they're doing, the very things they accuse you of. Invariably, they are doing, if you're doing it at all, which oftentimes is simply not true, they're doing it 100 times worse.
Well, that, you know, that's something that I've been saying on my show for the past close to 10 years now, is that if they're accusing us of something, it's something that they're doing.
It's what Diane Bongino calls the dipsy do flipperoo. If they're accusing you of something, they're doing it. You know, they're accusing Trump of corruption, but look who's corrupt, right?
Yep.
I'm not saying that they aren't any corrupt Republicans. I'm saying, you know, oatmeal brains in the White House and the rest of them are accusing Trump of being corrupt. Who's corrupt, right?
What sort of serious political party would ever put a creature like Kamala Harris one heartbeat away from the presidency when it's more likely she would have to step into the job because of the man that's already in the job as president? What serious political party would ever do that, even for political reasons? You would at least think you'd get somebody of moderate political competence. At the very least, they've got an utter, vapid, puerile, simple-minded moron as vice president, and now they're caught on the horns of their own damn dilemma, and it couldn't serve a part. There is no party that is more deserving of the dilemma they're in right now than the Democrat Party. They don't know what to do with Kamala Harris. They know they can't run her. They know it's going to be a disaster. She's got to take over the presidency. They know it's going to ruin their prospects of 2024. They can't get, they're like riding a tiger. They can't,
yep.
They got to get off, but they got to stay on.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's the scary part about this whole thing is we're, you know, the people have actually allowed a lot of this to continue. And if we'd have done something about it 10, 15 years ago, I don't think we'd be having this discussion today.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
And we'd have done something. No. All of this is this modern-day genesis of what's going on is a direct result of not following the Constitution, at least testing in court whether or not Barack Obama was Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen, qualified to be president. We didn't even get a significant challenge in any court in the United States. And it was never heard on the merits. Allowing him to take office was the biggest single mistake politically anybody ever did. He opened the door to all of this we're looking at now, including giving us Joe Biden.
Yeah, and then we
yep.
have to remember, too, that one of the things that he was saying at the very beginning was we need to bring America back together. We need to start doing, as a country, what we need to be doing. And he was actually leading in the very opposite direction.
The most significant thing he said was we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And it was one of the few things he said that was true. They have been.
Yep. And the very first thing I asked when he said that, I was sitting in the living room, I said, transform it to what?
Yeah,
you can see it all around us. You can see it all around us.
Yep.
We didn't follow the Constitution with regard to him to make a determined inquiry as to what the qualifications of an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen meant. We were not even allowed to ask the question, or you'd be intimidated into silence, because then you just didn't want a black man to be president of the United States. After all, you racist white people didn't want a black man to even be a citizen. So now you're saying a black man has a real prospect being president. You're telling us he's not a natural-born citizen? Just like the 14th Amendment citizens you had to make with the 14th Amendment? See, that's how they got cowed. They got cowed into not defending the Constitution. And they're still being cowed.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
These people, the only thing they're good at is demagoguery and maintaining power. They're good at nothing else when it comes to governing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we can be 100% sure that if they're accusing us of something, they're doing it. And that's one of the things that I keep talking about, you know, with Trump. They're accusing him of all these things, but how many of them are actually doing it?
And the guy Obama's still pulling the string, as we speak. He's still running it. Look, he is probably at least 25 to 40% of the actual president, not more. But I say at least 25 to 40% of the actual presidency. And certainly his appointees between him and the people, he influenced Joe Biden to appoint to his cabinet and to the various bureaucracies in the federal government. Obama is 100% in his third term as president of the United States.
Absolutely.
That's why you don't hear him say much.
Well, he doesn't have to. He
doesn't
want to
bring
something.
Attention to himself. He doesn't want to bring attention to his actual behind-the-scenes manipulation of the Biden administration.
Right. I mean, because think about this. You look at all the people that are in the Biden administration, including Biden, who were in the Obama administration or tied to Obama. And what's her name? Knee pads, as I call her, is tied to Obama, the vice president. She's tied to Obama, you know. All the rest of them, Kerry and John Kerry and all these other people, they were all in Obama's one of the two administrations, either the first half or the second half of the administration, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first four or the last four. So, yeah, even to some extent, Hillary Clinton is tied to Obama. Yeah, they may not like each other, but Obama did make her the Secretary of State at one point, right? And they got us into that goddamn Iran deal, you know, which, by the way, Biden's gotten us back into, gotten us back into a lot of stuff, but gotten us back into the Iran deal. So, you know, all this is just, like you said, Obama's third term.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
That's all it is. You know, and you try to accuse them of that, and they get so indignant and so upset about it, and they start accusing us of not following the laws. Well, you know, it's them who's not following the laws, and the problem comes in is a lot of the people on our side are allowing them to do that when they should be speaking up and saying, hey, now wait a minute, this needs to stop. But they're afraid of losing votes if they do so. And I think anybody who is in office who is afraid of losing votes for doing the right thing, they need to be gotten rid of. I don't care what party they're on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we have to.
You know, guys, just think about this. We're talking about Obama's third term. Just remember what happened at the end of FDR's thing. the country was – his own party came up with the rule that you can only serve two terms, right?
Yeah. 1951, they passed the 20th Amendment.
That's right. So they've now found a workaround of the Constitution.
Well, you know, the problem with the left right now is if you follow the Constitution and want to do what the Constitution says or what our laws say, then you're the bad guy. And they've gotten away with that so much that, you know, you hear about it in the news like it's matter of fact. And nobody says anything about it. And we need to start saying stuff about it. We need to start telling them, now, wait a minute, this needs to stop. You're destroying this country.
Well, I mean, think about this. When the whole thing with the Roe versus Wade came down and the decision came down early, whatever it was, and the left started to send people to the Supreme Court justices' houses to try to intimidate them, you know, and they got away with it when those people that showed up at the houses, including that guy that showed up with a gun or was going to try and kill Kavanaugh, nothing happened to him.
Yeah, and that's
criminality. Those people you're not supposed to be able to intimidate just judges, juries, whatever. You're not supposed to be able to do that. And they got away with it.
Well, you're allowed to petition at the Supreme Court if you're upset about a pending Supreme Court decision, but the law specifically says you're not allowed to break outside of their residences or their homes. That's what's forbidden. You're allowed to express whatever disagreement and a petition your government, to include the Supreme Court, for how you think they ought to vote, to pressure them in every way possible and around the Supreme Court building or whatever. But when you go to their houses, you've automatically violated the law. Automatically. And Merrick Garland made not one arrest of any of those picketers outside of any of those justices' homes. Not one.
And they should have all been arrested.
Exactly. They were violating the law. They were allowed to protest at the Supreme Court building, not outside of their homes.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. They got away with breaking the law. That's what I mean. And nothing happened to them. When those people that showed up at those justices' homes should have been prosecuted.
Exactly. Very least arrested. I mean, like, I remember just the other day, we saw those Nevada Pima Indian Rangers on that reservation plowed. That was the most satisfying dance in life. That day they picked up plowed in that stupid little protest. They've got hundreds of people sitting in the baking sun, unable to move down the highway. They're blocking the highway. Those Pima Indian Rangers came in there, busted them up, and one stupid woman's on the sidelines said, "But we're nonviolent. We're environmental protesters." As though that gives them some sort of dispensation from obstructing traffic and blocking the roadway. And they actually believe this. They think if their cause is righteous, they have a right to violate the law with no consequences. That's what these people think. They think they're exempt from law. The Democrats and their leftist allies at every level of society believe their righteousness exempts them from the consequences the rest of us have to face.
Yep. And you know, the problem comes in is that we've allowed this to happen. So now they've got precedent saying, well, we have the right to do this because these people got away with it, so we should be able to. I've got another 111 number just raised his hand. And you're in here. Go ahead.
Hey, gang.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, you know, Sarge, it's hard for me to listen to you after the last couple of in-depth conversations we have, and you refer to standing up for the Constitution. It sounds a bit hypocritical.
Okay. What did I do wrong then?
No, I mean, it's just like if we don't respect the rights of every person, because you remember you guys were saying, oh, we can't please everybody, so once the people who get into office get to dictate burdens and encumbrances, you get to petition for a redress of grievance. You don't really get a redress of grievance. Well, there's creating a title of nobility, and you're not. That's a violation of Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, and then it's also denying people the same privileges and immunities as the citizens of the several states. It's a violation of Article 4, Section 2, Clause 1. So whose interpretation of the Constitution are we going by?
Okay, again,
the Constitution specifically says that you can protest as long as you don't break the laws or get violent, and they get violent, so that's automatically saying they're breaking the law. Constitution says so.
For instance, people have a right. One of the biggest beasts people are having now is the right to travel freely unencumbered. People don't even think you. Some people don't think you should be required to have a driver's license to travel, for God's sake. Here we got people blocking the road, preventing people from traveling in the desert. They're blocking the road in the desert. They're not just saying you can't drive without a license. They're saying you can't drive because we have a higher principle to uphold. No. I don't care what their beef is. They don't have the right to restrict others, free, lawful, and willing travel either. They are obstructing their freedoms and their liberties. Their actions deserve no respect in that regard.
Okay, I'll give you that. But is it possible that they see the situation as, you know, you've made me see it now, is that the people who claim to know the Constitution are actually perverting the interpretation and violating the Constitution themselves, so therefore the Constitution is being nullified. So why listen to people talk about what's constitutional or not? I'm just going to do what the heck I want, whether you say it's right or wrong anyway. Nobody wants to work by mutual assent. They want to play dictator in charge, king of the hill, government by roll of the dice chance.
Well, let me show you how corruption is. Let me give you an example of how scumbag, son of a bitches, bastards these people are. And that's what they are, the government. And this is what they are. My father passed away last year, and so he's got some unclaimed property up there in the state of Connecticut. So I filed a claim, right? So now I gave him my driver's license, gave him my birth certificate already, got a copy of that. Right? I gave him a copy of the power of attorney that my dad gave me before he died. Okay. So now they sent me back a form. All right. And this is what they emailed me back. I was just opening up and reading while you guys were talking. It says, thank you for your claim submission. Our office has completed the initial review of your claim and have determined that additional information is required. The following documents are still needed to complete the processing of your claim. Please provide a photocopy of your driver's license or other official government identification. Please provide a photocopy of the official government document displaying the reported owner's Social Security number. Please return the enclosed claim form with your signature. Each reported owner must sign the claim form. Please submit the original executed finder contract with limited power of attorney for this claim, signed and notarized by all parties to the contract. The contract must list each party available to be claimed, property of NID issued by Connecticut, value of the property, total amount to be claimed, amount payable to the rightful owner, fee, percentage charged by finder, and dollar amount to be collected by finder. Please provide the documents that relate to your legally appointed title if you are the guardian. Please include the following guardianship documents. Now, this is the asinine bullshit, twisted, convoluted crap that they do every single day. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of it, just like most other people are. There's no truth in advertising. Everything is bait and switch. Everything's a scam. Everything's a lie. Everything's broken. Because you know what? They just won't give you nothing. They want more. More. And they won't stop. They won't. They're assholes. All of them. And they don't care about you. And I don't care about them. I think the whole damn place should be knocked down and built from anew. Because I'm sick of it.
I think John Doe's argument is, though, is because some people don't get their particular grievances satisfied, and others do. Now, mind you, whenever there is a
victor or a loser or a winner in a decision, somebody comes away dissatisfied. I think John Doe's objections seem to be based on the fact that when he doesn't get what he sees as an injustice redressed, therefore the Constitution's been violated, when in fact it specifically says in the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution, I mean, it says it's clear as a bell. It says that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people, which means they legislate in some manner. Some people are not going to agree with it. Others are. As long as there is not a prima facie violation of the Constitution in the legislation, because it says you can't do something that the Constitution prohibits the states to do, as long as you're not committing a prima facie violation of the Constitution, you have to accept the fact that some of your grievances are not going to be redressed in the manner that you wish they would.
That's right. You're right in that regard. The spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration goes beyond just prima facie on the face. It goes to the whole spirit of the law, meaning you pursue your happiness but do no harm. If you deny a person's right to exercise mutual assent and the burdens, encumbrances of governing, then you've destroyed the legal effect of their private property. If you don't give them redress, that's extrinsic fraud, abuse of process, bullying, abuse of discretion, coercion, exploitation, extortion, fraudulent conveyance, fraudulent confiscation, fraudulent convergence. I can prove all this stuff, but we get in these little filibuster matches, and nobody wants to get to the real detailed nitty-gritty of what the truth is. They just want to imagine what's in their own mind is the right thing. So we're going to keep
give
fighting.
Give me a concrete example.
Brains out,
okay.
That's what it's going to come to.
Give me a concrete example of where an expression of the popular will of the body politic of a state has expressed in legislative action and done in a constitutional manner has violated your fundamental constitutional rights. Now, I want something concrete.
The day they turn the lights on, you know what? Turn them off and go home, all of them. That's what I say. They all need to go home.
I got news for you, John Doe. The legislature of my state and every state I've ever lived in is constantly passing laws that make me feel like I've been victimized. But when I examine the basis of everything, I am reluctantly forced to conclude that there's nothing unconstitutional about them passing a law that I personally find unsatisfactory.
Yeah, I think we have Bianchi in here right now.
You know, you talk about blocking traffic. Justin Jones, who's a Tennessee state rep, he's a Filipino, but he's passing for black here in the United States. They had a blockade of traffic in Memphis, Tennessee, trying to get some point across. See, that's what these leftists do. They want to get you involved into their arguments, and you don't want to have nothing to do with it. So one motorist in a pickup truck, a mini pickup truck, like an SR5 or something, he's going to go around them. This is a white person. So Justin Jones and the other person with him got pissed off because he didn't want this driver to exercise his right not to be a part of it. So as he went around, he took a traffic cone, not the small one, the larger traffic cone, about 36 inches tall, and slung it at the driver into his cab. Now, if that had been me, I would have shot him dead.
Yeah.
But that goes to show you how these damn leftists want you to be a part of whatever it is they're trying
to
do.
Yeah, you got to run them over. Yeah, you got to run them over nowadays, you know. It's terrible.
the main reason though so many of the leftists get away with doing what they're doing is they have so many compliant Republicans helping hold them up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, if he's in Memphis, Tennessee, ain't no Republicans in Memphis. If you see one, get you a net and cast it on him and hold him. You got a specimen.
It's an endangered species.
Shelby County ain't got no Republicans. And North St. Louis, if you see a white person in North St. Louis, take a net and cast it over. You got you a capture there, baby. That's museum piece.
You had a rare museum piece, something to be examined by with marble by zoologists. A rarity.
Yeah. Oh, they said that day one night when I was on that Wibble Dan show how blacks are getting beat up and everything across the country and attacked, and I said, and I told them about, well, what about when whites get attacked? Oh, that's very rare, it never happens.
Nonsense.
You know, what planet are you on? You know, I mean, what planet? It just doesn't make any sense. These people, they just like don't
it's
see any type of reality.
I mean,
that's what we need to do.
It's literally
just come from a different planet.
Math. These people can't do math. I mean, look at the numbers of hate crimes reported for whites and the number of hate crimes reported by blacks. The blacks are 300% overrepresented in terms of proportion of their population. And hate crimes being reported just aren't reporting all the hate crimes that white people are doing, which I doubt. But white people are underrepresented in proportion to the population. Blacks are wildly overrepresented in the number of hate crimes that they're reported to committing. I mean, they just hate math.
Did anybody see that blonde girl? Anybody see that TikTok video? Check this out. You guys are going to say, oh, right. But do you remember that TikTok girl that was going, you know, she was saying the N-word a couple weeks ago, and she threw her phone down on the ground or whatever, and the black girl punched her in the mouth? Remember that TikTok video?
Yep.
I wish somebody would have saw it, because remember a few months ago there was a girl on an airplane that saw a guy that turned into a snake and she flipped out? Remember? Yeah, that was the same girl. That was the same girl, man, and nobody noticed. Nobody noticed. You know, and I'm like, that's the same girl.
You got black males jumping on white females left and right. Left and right.
No, but I'm just wondering why she's doing that, though.
Let's talk about what they're doing to Asians in a lot of these big cities. Off the charts in terms of the attacks of black offenders.
Our friend the gunslinger has access to a video of a fight that took place in like a subway or something, and I'm talking about the restaurant, you know, like a Subway restaurant, between a black woman, between a black lady and a white lady. And at one point, the black lady had her on the ground and was about to stomp her head into the ground. And, you know, it was getting to be life-threatening for this particular woman, you know. And he said that if he was there, he would have been able to shoot this black chick because she was threatening the life of the white woman, you know, because of what she was beating the crap out of her, you know. So, yeah, this stuff happens all the time, you know.
I got one that's even better than that. Now, we got this racist psychopath who killed these four black people in Jacksonville, Florida, and obviously everybody recognizes that is an atrocity. Clear, uncontroverted atrocity. Just last month, in Henry County, Georgia, we had a black man named Andre Longmore who killed four white people that were his neighbors. Now, there was no examination of his motive. That's what struck me. I said to myself, why did he kill these four white people? The press wasn't at all curious. Let me say it again. The only reason it even came to public attention was because he escaped the scene and they had to go manhunt for him for 3 days. When they finally found him, he got in a shootout with the sheriff's deputies and the police down there, Henry County Police. One deputy
and two police officers wounded, and they had to kill this guy. But again, there was an amazing lack of curiosity as to why he killed these four white people. There would have been infinite numbers of questions in the absence of a motive of any white person killing four black people. It would have been immediately asked, why did he do it?
Well, hell, look at the black man in Nashville that went to the white church and wrote that he wanted to kill 10 whites. I think he got in there and sat in the back after a while. Then he got up, and I think he killed maybe, he shot one in the parking lot, and I think he went inside and shot maybe two or three others. He said he wanted to kill at least 10 whites. Nothing said about it on the news.
No, they never do. It doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative is all that matters.
Why?
And it doesn't fit the narrative.
Why?
What about, you know, what about that guy, I believe it was in Kenosha, he ran in.
Waukesha.
Yeah, in Waukesha. He was driving a 5,000-pound, you know, assault weapon into a parade.
Yeah.
They didn't mention him because he's a black guy.
But wait a minute.
Yeah,
did
he
see,
was zigzagging from one side of the
street
to the other.
Page? Did you see his social media page? Full of references against white people, raging against what he perceived as the injustice committed by white people and how he was seeking vengeance against them. Just rife with it. He was doing rap songs about it.
Yep.
But nothing to see
driving
here.
Down
let's
that
just
street.
Move on. Nothing to see here.
Oh, driving yeah, down they, the street, you have oh, paraders he, on either he, side he, of the street. He's zigzagging back and forth so he can run over. He missed a young little white girl, must have been about 10 years old by inches.
Yep. And like I said, you should have just seen his social media pages, man. And it's full of racist invective. Like I said, it's a one-way narrative. We cannot have a country where this sort of situation exists and expect to be any sort of unity.
Why did
because these people are using many black people as stalking horses for Marxism, cultural Marxism, and a racial hierarchy. Because they think all of this is going to serve the interests of the globalist elitist oligarchs to keep us fighting with each other.
Part of the reason they keep getting away with it, though, is because throughout the history of America, there's been certain groups, a.k.a. blacks, that have been discriminated against to the point that they feel that the system, it's all unconstitutional, even though everybody says it's constitutional. So they don't see any way to remedy it whenever they know when they get pulled into court or if they have to, you know, get up, there's a law or something on there, on the books, that they want to say, hey, this thing is infringing, abridging my pursuit of happiness while giving other people a high-speed fast lane to their pursuit of happiness, and they're ignored, and their grievance is not provided. So they just
look at the reaction to the black people, from the black people in Atlanta to Trump, to what's happening with Trump.
They identify with him.
Because let me finish. They're saying Trump is actually getting to experience what they've been experienced for centuries now, and he's going to be one of them because he's starting to understand the corruption in the judicial, legal, and law enforcement system.
I understand that, and also I understand too that much of the evil that black people rightly decry about the United States was constitutional prior to the passages of the 13th and the 14th Amendment. In fact, the Constitution even had a fugitive slave clause right there in the Constitution. So, yes, the very things that black people were decrying for a long time prior to the passage of the 13th and 14th Amendments and the subsequent Civil Rights Amendments were, in fact, constitutional. And therein lies the rub. How do we get black people to understand that the rule of law is what eventually managed us to rid ourselves of the worst aspects of these constitutional evils?
Yeah,
the evils got in there because of...
You had blacks complaining, we need more black judges. We need more black mayors. We need more black representatives. Hell, when they get there, not like this woman there in Georgia, she is just as hypocritical and evil as the worst of whites.
Oh, is she ever? Is she ever?
Well, and then when we get people like Alan West and people like that, you know, even people like who may be, you know, the squishiest of Republicans, like Condoleezza Rice, who we may not agree with everything she says, but she's an establishment Republican, but they go after her too. Her and
well,
Alan
if you get
West.
In there, you don't qualify. You don't qualify if you don't get in. Some people they just don't let in at all. You know,
Tim,
it's all mixed
Tim
up.
Scott, you know, all these black Republicans. Oh, you're not in the group. If you're black and you're Republican, you're not in the group.
You know,
it's just the way
black.
It is.
There's authentic black, and then there's authentically black, and maybe consider people like her and me and Fiongi. We're not authentically black because we don't believe, we don't align ideologically with so-called activist blacks who are racially woke and conscious.
I mean,
Biden say? My non-authentic ass.
Yeah, what did Biden say? If you don't vote for me, you ain't black?
That's what he said.
Well, hell, in those wards, in those polling places, you get out the car and start walking up to the poll, and you have your piece of paper that's going to advise you that you worked and done the research on the candidate, and you're taking it in the poll to use it as a guide. They'll take it out of your hand. They will snatch it out of your hand and replace it with their slate. That goes on in black Normandy, Missouri, and other polling places. Now, some people say it goes on. Well, I don't know about that. I only know the ones that I witnessed and experienced.
No, we know that's part of the election fraud we're talking about here. And all of that election fraud needs to be objected to. Like I said, what do you think the Battle of Athens was all about, 1946? Election fraud. People decided they just won't put up with it anymore. They just took it to the nth degree. They actually conducted an armed revolution against it. Now, I'm not saying it needs to go that far, but I'm saying that's what it can lead up to.
I don't think it could lead up to there, but no. I mean, but sure, I think it'd be quite refreshing. I think it's about that. I mean, you know, war is hell, but, you know, I don't see how we could fix anything sometimes. I mean, I'm not going to give up fighting, but I'm just saying, I just don't think how can we overcome this corruption.
We treat each other with mutual respect, dignity, and due consideration, and we don't. When we say the people who get elected into office get to bully and play king of the hill and burden and encumber you against your will,
you're actually feeding
the beast. You what?
But John Doe, you're accusing the people in office, but there's also a flip side to that coin. Why don't you take a walk down Martin Luther King Drive and see if they treat you with respect too? You know. So
how's that compared? Well, how do you compare that? I'm not sure I catch what you're trying to get me to understand, Joe.
Because they're going to bully you and beat you and rob you just like they do in Washington, just in a different way.
I think he is saying right. At least we can get our government better situated. I understand
his point, though. He's saying that when the government does it, it's much worse because they've got the authority that doesn't really answer to anyone else unless it's the might of the people. Whereas criminal actions at least have the potential to be redressed by arrest.
And the government is doing psychological projection and pushing that agenda in that psychological dysfunction. Or we, the people who agree with that kind of dysfunction, are sowing that same psychological dysfunction ourselves.
Yeah, but again, here's where I'm still trying to make an understanding of the distinction. Look, there are many conflicting points of view on how to construct a civil society. Now, you take a homeowners association, which, by the way, doesn't have the force of law
So I don't mean to say in any respect that it does, because homeowner associations are contracts into which everyone willingly enters. But nonetheless, many of the people who are in the homeowner association having willingly entered the contract, been in it for years, then all of a sudden some crazy Karen who runs the goddamn thing comes in with some silly, stupid, arbitrary rule that you can't fly an American flag on your porch. And the next thing you know, you got to put up with the homeowners association messing with you after they've passed this rule with which you have contracted to, because they were given the authority to pass rules like this based on the contract that you signed. And this kind of an implicit contract of citizenship that everybody enters into by being a citizen, that being the Constitution of the United States. That kind of thing is like this. I mean, you know, yeah, that's petty tyranny, surely. I think many laws that are constitutional are bad laws, and they border on tyranny. But nonetheless, I think that's just part of the game. You cannot get everything you want in an adversarial system with multiple hundreds and thousands of conflicting points of views and someone responsible for enacting legislation that governs all of them.
Sarge, it's not about getting what you want. Our system allows you to pursue your happiness as long as you do no harm. It's about you not being railroaded by somebody else to deny you, you know, a bridge or infringe on your pursuit of happiness while you're not doing harm or encroaching on others right now.
No, John Doe, you don't get to do what you want that makes you happy. Just because it makes you happy, even if it doesn't bother anybody. But you just don't get to do that. Because you have a responsibility also.
Joe, as long as you're doing no harm to other people, yes, there's always a responsibility because you ain't going to get anything done without you being responsible to pull yourself up and do it.
I can show you how white folks get criticized and slandered for doing just that. I'll give you an example. It's when they live in a community and they look up and see blacks coming, then they move. Well, they got a right to move. But they get criticized and said that they fled. White flight made the neighborhood go down. But good goddamn, how do you think that blacks got into Ferguson, Missouri? They fled North St. Louis. They fled communities like DeVille, Walnut Park, Penrose Park, because of the crime. And when they go to Ferguson in 2014, when all this Mike Brown stuff came up, well, guess what? They had to flee again, walk away from property values, and go across the Missouri River into St. Charles County, which, by the way, is about 95% white, and all the police departments are white. So they couldn't be from white police oppression. Nothing said about blacks when they flee. It's always the evil whites. They flee and cause the economic conditions of where they fled from to go down.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you know. I understand these things. Look, I told you, I'm serious. If I ever got elected office, I'd probably get rid of 40% of laws on the book. I swear to God I would have had the power. I would do that. But I accept as inevitable the fact that laws are going to be passed that are completely constitutional and are horrible laws. I mean, look at the driver's license. I really don't think you ought to have a driver's license to drive. You know, maybe you put down a fee to cover the cost of taking care of the roads and, you know, that you're going to be driving on. You know, you have an apportioned fee you pay. Okay, fine, you pay. And you drive competently on the road. That is not forbidden by the Constitution to the state. Because see, the Constitution don't say a goddamn thing about driving on the road. It's left to each of the states to make the decision about and to regulate. And we just have to accept the fact that that is the nature of the beast. Otherwise, you're going to have basically anarchy.
Not if everybody respected each other's rights to decide for themselves their own burdens, encumbrances, and obligations, do no encroaching or harm to others, because everybody has a right of self-defense. If you're encroaching on other people's property, and you know, the crime of omission, we're always talking about the commission of crime. The crime of omission is to not protect your fellow man's same privileges and immunities as you expect yourself. So therefore, if you don't, you've made yourself the same devil you complain about, but you don't want it to apply to you the same way, or us, or me, whoever
it
is.
That's in heaven, John. Though you're talking about a perfect place where everybody gets along and agrees with each other, and nobody burdens anybody else, and nobody's going to step on anybody's toes, nobody's going to develop on anybody else's land. You know, that's to heaven.
No, that's not true, Joe. You know that's not true, because in a human relationships, we all learn by our mistakes, and if we acknowledge our and say, hey, Joe, I'm sorry, committed this against you, I repent and I stand corrected, we grow better. Totally
in a
take
perfect
my
society,
will.
Yeah.
No, wait, let me finish. You totally take my right to be treated as an equal by mutual assent for the burdens, encumbrances, and obligations. You've already committed a crime against me by destroying my private property.
Yeah, but the chaos we're looking at right now in the big cities across the United States, mitigates against that very thing. There are not people who will treat fellow men respectfully. They will not respect their property. In fact, they think they are entitled to take it by force, because the civil authorities are not enforcing the civil laws passed by the legislatures of every single state in the union.
That's why they're railroading Trump under these bogus charges and stuff, because they know they can get away with it, because you guys say that it's okay for them people to get in there and exercise that kind of corruption.
No, we're not doing that at all. Because the Constitution the Constitution requires due process of law, and that due process law must be carried out constitutionally, which would exclude malicious persecution. No, they are not following the law constitutionally, because there's nothing about free speech that is unconstitutional or illegal. There's nothing about relying upon the legitimate advice of counsel that is illegal or unconstitutional. That is the very thing we're talking about. All things are not equivalent. There is objective truth, and the objective truth says certain persecutions are not prosecutions. They are illegal. It doesn't matter the fact that somebody in authority using the color of law, that's why we have civil rights violations called done under authority and color of law, not actual law that is specified by law in the Constitution.
That's why we end up with all this statutory case law nonsense, so the different attorneys get in there behind closed doors and they pick who the winners and losers are going to be in order to continue to maintain their power. And therefore, it goes back. I wish you'd take your conclusions and your assessment or analysis that you were just talking to all the way to the true point of law from the Declaration of Independence, instead of nullifying the Declaration of Independence.
But the point of rulings by all the courts is to create a common law basis for future adjudication. That is the purpose of the common law. Every court ruling, everyone, becomes part of the common law. You have to have a basis from which to decide what sorts of rulings are legitimate and illegitimate. That's why there's such a thing called precedent. Otherwise, we'll be starting anew with every single criminal case. There would not be an understanding of what the law actually means. One of the most important things about law is that everyone, starting from the beginning, understands what the rules of the law are, which is why what's going on in Fulton County right now is so arbitrary and capricious. Because everybody understood what the rules were before Fannie Willis launched this illegitimate campaign to derail the presidential campaign.
Yep. And the very first rule of law is that no one can be burdened, encumbered against their will, because then that's not the consent of the governed, a correctly derived government from we, the people. That's an oligarchy.
I don't want to pay income taxes. They are unduly burdening and encumbering me by making me pay income taxes. I don't want to pay them. And if I don't pay them, they're going to lock me up and put me in jail.
It depends on
where
you are,
too. And I don't want to pay.
I don't want debate. I think it's an unlawful, not unlawful, but it's an undue encumbrance. But they make me pay them.
You a white man shoot a black man and call him nigger, well, you're going to get charged with a hate crime. But damn, when you have 4,875 blacks shot by other blacks in Chicago with 745 murdered, you mean to tell me that one of those blacks that shot the other black didn't call him a nigger when he shot him? But he's going to get charged with a hate crime.
You don't get that hate crime. No. Never will either. In fact, we had Kim Fox down there in Cook County. They caught the guys they caught on video engaging in a shootout in the middle of the street. You realize this Democrat George Soros installed state's attorney, Kim Fox, in Cook County, declined to prosecute the people because she said they were engaged in mutual combat. I swear to God.
Hell, they had Kyle Rittenhouse. They say he was wrong to come out of another state.
You can't swear to God if you don't believe in him.
I do hereby affirm that Kim Fox dismissed charges of attempted murder against these gangbangers because they were engaged in mutual combat. What she said was she charged them with unlawful discharge of firearm, for which they all got probation.
Yeah, and John Doe, is that somebody that's not gonna, is that gonna burden him and consume, you know, all that other stuff? He's not gonna. I mean, is that somebody that's gonna step aside and just let you live and let you do, you know, not gonna do no harm? No, we don't have people like that anymore in this country. We have a morally bankrupt, dumbed down people.
But
so
that's,
we're, you know, that's
so. But, Joe, you already know the answer to your own statement because you know you have a right of redress as far as self-defense, whether you want to take it legally and try to use the corrupt legal system in order to push your point, or you take physical actions to secure your private property back.
Okay, well, hang on. How much do I get to do that? I mean, who decides how far I get to go now?
Yeah.
Well, at what level and what jurisdiction are you referring to? I mean, if we're talking from a federal
one out of the hat. There is no one. We're all the same, John Doe, remember? We're all the same.
How does a quadriplegic defend themselves, by the way, except the right of self-defense?
Well, from a standpoint of being burdened by rules, laws, process, procedures, regulations, ordinances, and stuff that they don't like because they are emburdening them and denying them their freedom to have their own pursuit of happiness, then they do it at whatever jurisdictional level it's being imposed on them. By legal means, hopefully, because if they don't have physical means to take care of it, then they got to get buddies like me to help them, and then I'll help them physically, legally, or mentally.
You can't do that. No, you can't. Who gives you the right to do that?
Hey, Daniel Penny, I got some charges for you when you get off the subway car.
You got a first black female there.
You're condoning your own confinement. You're building your own prison with this stuff. I'm giving you freedom by my position. You're building another.
Maybe that's why we need God, John Doe, because we can't figure this out. You know, maybe that's why, and that's what it's always going to do, same cycle.
You got a black female mayor in St. Louis, the first black female mayor in St. Louis. And when she get elected, blacks are supposed to be acting cool and everything. No crime is so bad. She's talking about taking guns away from young people. I'm not talking about kiddies. I'm talking about young adults. Well, the state attorney general had to tell her, well, that's against the Constitution. You can't do that. So she comes to attitude, go to writing, and telling him that we the city of St. Louis and we can write our ordinance that if we want to take weapons away, we can. She disregarding the Second Amendment.
And the laws of the state of Missouri.
Tashara Jones, the mayor of St. Louis. Read it.
And the laws of the state of Missouri. She's disregarding. They need to impeach her from office.
Now what do we
she's
do?
She's openly saying she's not going to accommodate the law. Openly.
Hell, you had another alderman, Bosley, Bosley Jr. was the first black mayor of the city of St. Louis, and his brother is an alderman in his father's ward. He wanted to suspend the Second Amendment in his ward. He wanted to suspend the Second Amendment in his ward.
I think
ward
the point here
is
that we all have different views and opinions and on the way things are. And I understand what John Doe's saying, but not all of us are going to think the same way. You know, or
well,
it's not going to happen.
Everybody wants the right to decide for themselves their own burdens and encumbrances and obligations. If we don't respect that for our fellow man, then we're not deserving of it ourselves, much less
Why
anybody else.
Why do I have to pay income taxes? Why do I have to pay income taxes then? I want to decide my own burdens on that respect. How much income taxes I ought to send to the government? Why can't I?
And I don't like you driving your car.
Why did some legislator decide for me how much money I'm going to pay in income taxes?
Hey, Sarge, and Sergeant John Doe, hang on. Sergeant John Doe, I don't want you driving your cars near me. I don't want you coming down the road near me. I don't like it. It just offends me. You know, it's too much noise.
That's
you
right.
know, you're burdening me.
Who decides?
You know, I mean, who decides all this stuff?
That's why we have a representative republic. That's why we have a 9th and 10th Amendment. We have the 9th Amendment, too, by the way, John Doe, in support of your position. We also have the 10th Amendment. There's a tension there.
But it's about inalienable rights. It's not constitutional rights. We're upholding our own individual inalienable rights. The Constitution tries to help set forth those things.
Try to enforce the parameters of the Declaration absent a constitutional provision. You're just not going to have much luck. The Declaration is a framework to help craft the Constitution. The Constitution is intended to be consistent with those inalienable rights. And therein lies the tension. You're never going to get it perfect.
Look,
that's our foundation.
Let me state something again. Whenever you have a system of elections where the people who do win the elections become a congressman, senator, the Congress, and they get to burden and encumber you against your will, what they're doing is they have a trust relationship with you. You temporarily allowed them custody of your private property, the self-governing of you. They have a fiduciary agency relationship to do your business and do you no harm. If they pass rules, laws, processes, and procedures that encroach on your right to your pursuit of happiness, they've done you harm. So therefore, now they're exercising undue influence and coercion. That's the way they get to do these antitrust crooked deals in the background and get away with it, because you handed over the doggone key to the kingdom.
Okay, I would like you now to cite for me and the audience here the worst, most egregious example, specifically and concretely, of what you are decrying. Give me the worst example you can give me of what you think should be changed in that respect to conform to your wishes.
Not being able to read your mind, I'll do the best I can. The point is,
you are the one who are complaining about the burdens being placed upon you by tyrants in the legislature and elsewhere. Your fellow citizens, the culture, the society places these undue burdens on your pursuit of happiness. So I'm asking you, concretely and specifically, what do you think is the worst example of this? Concretely, in the form of an actual situation, circumstance, law, or practice that is going on right now in the 21st century.
And I don't think it matters what's the worst. The point is
well, just anyone, not any words. Just give me anyone you wish.
Well,
I want a specific.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you just a while ago. I don't have the means to read your mind, so I'm going to do the best I know.
I'm asking you to give me from your mind. Don't worry about me. Just give me what. If John Doe could wave a magic wand and change something,
one particular aspect of law and culture and society to conform to these complaints that you have, what would that be?
It would be the fact that all legal United States citizens are due their individual pursuit of happiness where they get the redress of grievance when encroached, and they're doing no harm.
Okay, see how empress that is? I can't, I'm sorry. That's about as hard to grasp as Mercury. I cannot make sense of that.
Likewise,
you have to be,
okay,
let me give you an example of what I would have said. I would have said, like, prior to 1865, the fugitive slave clause. Well, I would have said something very specific so you would know exactly, you could hone in on exactly what I meant. Exactly. You still haven't given me that I can zero in on. I've got a statement of purpose and an intent. It's empress. It's vague. It could fit any number of hundreds of things. And then I'd have to get into your mind to understand precisely what that is. You seem to be refusing to tell me what are the shape and the parameter of your complaint in form of the most egregious of them. You just won't do it.
Okay. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to break in. Joe or John, you can sit there and think about what he just said just a few seconds. But we've got to break in. Lorianne has to say something. I'd like to get Joseph to put his talk about his show that's coming up. And
well, Robert, when you do that, will you ask Joseph Gibson if you can put him and I in the green room for a brief moment after he gets done saying what you want him to say?
Sure. Why not? I guess. I'm not exactly sure how to do that, but Lorianne does. But we'll let Lorianne talk about her show. She's got some things she wants to talk about.
Yeah, lost track of time, and so I didn't realize until after the show was live, the live show had already ended, but I wanted to invite everybody that's listening to call into my show on Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne. It's my two-year anniversary show, so I'm going to be in a celebratory mood, so I'm inviting everybody to call in, say hi, hopefully I get some callers that, you know, haven't called in for a while to show up and stuff like that. So it's going to be a pretty good show. So tune in for Lucid Libertarian, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And bring your party hats and everything to celebrate 2 years of doing my show.
Yay. You're going to play some of your greatest hits?
That would be hard to compile. I was thinking of trying to do that, but, you know, I'll talk about some of the past guests that I've had and stuff like that. But, yeah, even in the 2 years, it would really be hard for me to compile a best hits because I've had so many great guests that have come on, many of them more than once. I've had so many great conversations and topics that we've discussed. I mean, it would be nearly impossible to go through and do I would need an assistant to try to help me with that. But it's been a pretty awesome last 2 years, I must say. I'm really grateful for all of you guys that tune into my show. Some of you are kind of new to the scene and are recently regular callers. And so I'm really grateful, humbled that I have a regular following and new people show up here and there. And so I'm just really happy to be able to celebrate 2 years of what's turned out to be a really good thing. When I first started it, I had no idea, you know, how it was going to evolve or, you know, I didn't even know if I would be doing it in, you know, for 6 months. You know, it was a let's see how it goes type of a thing. And now here I am 2 years later and still doing it. So I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of your input. I think my political views have grown as a result. And, you know, you all make me think about things that I didn't think about before. And your perspectives are respected. Even if I disagree, I really do try to respect and actually think about what you all are saying. And I think that's, you know, that should be kind of how all of us hosts operate, because I think we all have our own unique experiences, our own unique path, our own unique wisdom when it comes to politics and laws and what's going on in the world. And we all have a voice in this matter. And so I'm appreciative that you all listen to me. And so I really try to reciprocate that respect and listen to you as well.
Well, I can make a dedication as far as your best hits. Play Creedence Clearwater Bad Moon Rising so I can go outside and howl at the moon tomorrow night.
Okay, Joe, you show? Yeah.
All right, well, I'm not going to be partying Tuesday. I'm going to try to do a little earlier show because I'm going to start calling these politicians and influence them on changing the election laws. And like I said, I that's fine. You know, party's good. But me, I'm not – my time party will be, I guess, when I'm dead, because I got a war to fight, and that's to restore this republic and get back this country. And we got evil out there that just ain't going to rest. So there's no time for me to rest, so I'm just going to keep fighting. And so Tuesday, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, Restoring the Republic. I'm going to be calling these maggots, these criminals, so hopefully you guys will be there to listen, if not support me.
Okay, some of the other people that are not here right now is Ron Reck, his show. I can't place, I think it's on Tuesday.
He has multiple shows. He's doing a show right now, actually. He often does a Friday night show. So that's why he left earlier, so that he could go start his show. So Ron Ruck, Crazy Nation Radio, he does multiple shows per week. So keep an eye out for him. Follow him on Blog Talk Radio. Just if you don't have an account, sign up for a free Blog Talk account, and you can follow some of our shows and get email notifications and all that good jazz.
Okay, and there's Donnie C. He
yes, Donnie C. Show, Beyond the Mainstream. That's Saturday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. His is a great show. I've been a regular on his show for quite a while now, and always a good show with him. He's a good guy, and his wife, Cinnamon, she and I often, in overtime, will start talking a lot of lady issues. Because there's a lot of testosterone on these shows, and so Cinnamon is always good to have on to get a little more estrogen in the room.
Okay. Before we started this, I was asked to put somebody in the green room, and I'm not exactly sure how to do that. So maybe you can.
John Doe and Joe Gibson. I'm going to put
how do we get out of
the
green
room?
Room
so
how do we
you
get out of the green room? Yeah, how do we get out of the green room?
You guys are in the chat. If you're in the chat, we'll keep an eye out and just let us know when you want to come out of it. Okay?
All
right. So we'll keep an eye out in the chat room. I'm going to put you all into there now. Joe Gibson first. John Doe. All right, they are now in the green room and they can talk privately, and we can all continue here with Sarge and Pianki.
Thank you. I wasn't exactly sure how to do that, so I knew you would.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. And then once in a while, sometimes when people are in the green room, I'll kind of put myself in the green room for a few minutes just to check and make sure that they're still alive and not killing each other over there, and then pop back in.
I've been doing this show since about 2007, and I've never heard that term green room until just recently. So no matter how long you've been doing the show, you still learn stuff.
Yes, and I keep trying to say, you know, I keep looking. It's like, you know, Blog Talk Radio really needs to hire me as a support person. I swear to God, I know more about Blog Talk than most of their support staff, you know. People start coming to me before they even go reach out to the support most of the time. How do you do this, Gloria?
Yep. Okay, what we were discussing now. We'll get back to that.
Let's see. So, yeah, in the chat, we still have Sarge and Joe Gibson. I think Bring It Boy E dropped after the live show ended, I think, from the appearances of it. So they might have made their way over to Ron Rex's show, which after this show concludes, I'll probably make my way over there since right around 9 p.m. my time, there's still an hour or so left of his live show to call in. And so I'll continue the fun over on his show after we wrap up here.
Yeah, and Bianchi is there too.
Yeah,
yes,
there.
Bianchi's still in the queue. Sorry, Bianchi.
I'm going to slide out of here, but you know, the one pursuit that I seek is equal application of the laws and the withholding of the U.S. Constitution. Yeah, if I could just get that, I'd be well satisfied. If I wouldn't hear a wimp out of me.
I totally agree with you on that one. We're getting to the point now, if you follow the Constitution, you follow the laws, all of a sudden you're the one who's the bad guy. And we have allowed too much of that to happen.
Donald Trump got impeached for doing exactly that, for exactly following the law. He got impeached for it.
Okay, Joseph said that, okay,
more
we're
than
set.
One.
Hello.
Yeah.
All righty.
Okay, got him back.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we've got...
Thank you very much.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. You know, and I would say, you know, again, you know, I've talked about this before since I've had Dave Champion, Dr. Reality on in regards to the income tax. And I just think that more and more people really need to look up, you know, watch his videos on the income tax, who it actually applies to. It's probably the biggest scam in the United States on the American people, is convincing people that are United States citizens working here and earning their income within the United States are subject to the income tax when the law actually says they are not. And that is verified by every head of the Department of Treasury, where they are, every new head of the Department of Treasury has to make a statement. And that statement has never changed on who the federal income tax is applicable to. And so people need to educate themselves and get Dave Champion's book, Income Tax Shattering the Myth. And that can be your armor. And this is coming from a guy that hasn't paid in federal income tax for 30 years. Yes, he has had to battle the IRS over it. He gets called in, and that's all that happens. He gets called in, he points out the law, and then he walks away. And so
he had to do that number of times, didn't he, Lori Ann?
Exactly.
It's like
yeah.
He only did
you
it
know.
Once.
Yeah, it's not like he only did it once. You know, they've tried to drag him in and try to nail him, and they can't because he has the law by his side. He understands it, point it out, read it to them, you know, and it all boils down to the original definitions that have never changed on what an employee is and who the income tax is applicable to. And that is what our government is being funded based on a huge scam on the American people. And so, you know, but you can't just stop paying federal income tax, you know. You can't just stop. You know, once you sign that, you know, that W-9 with your employer and you check that box saying, I understand under penalty of perjury that I am subject to the federal income tax, you've just admitted that you understand the law. You've admitted that it applies to you. And so once you start to understand this and start having the law by your side, then that's when you can be smart enough to know that, okay, you know, if I am going to withdraw myself from this system, you have to have the knowledge and be able to point out the laws. You have to be prepared that the IRS is probably going to want to come after you and try to intimidate you and coerce you. And but like I said, if you have the law by your side, you have those definitions by your side, you have Supreme Court cases by your side, you have, you know, you have all of the Department of Treasury, the head of Department of Treasury statements by your side, then it gets harder and harder for them to lock you up in jail or take your house or anything like that, because you have a legitimate legal argument proving that the federal income tax does not apply to you. The only time it is supposed to apply toward an American citizen is if you're an American citizen and you're working abroad, earning your income abroad, or you're an agent for somebody that does. You're their tax preparer or their attorney or something. You know, yeah, you're an agent for that person or a representative for that person, and that's how you earn your income. So it really only applies to foreign-based income. Not ma, pa that has their own, you know, store. Not I go into work in an office right here in my state, you know. Not like 96% of the American population does not even know that the federal income tax actually by law does not apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
Exposing that scam. Like I said, if you want to shrink government, getting people more educated and being able to withdraw paying federal income tax when they legally are not having to, exposing this scam, that would be the biggest, most effective way to cut the purse strings off of our overbearing government ever. They would be forced to shut down all of these unconstitutional ABC agencies because they wouldn't have the fucking money to pay for it anymore. They would be forced to shut down all this unconstitutional stuff because we, the people, are realizing we've been scammed. Blacks want to have compensation for slavery? Oh, that's just a drop in the bucket, man. Think about all of the American people for decade after decade that have been scammed into paying income taxes that they never should have had to pay to begin with.
Lorianne.
Talk about retribution.
Can I jump in on you real quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, here's one caveat that I've come up with in this process. Because the people that have access to the Federal Reserve discount window and whatnot, these oligarchs, robber barons, and institutional traders and money banksters, they're going to always have access to the Federal Reserve. So they're going to get their money. The taxes situation was really developed to circumvent the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure. So that way all of these oligarchs use their hacker buddies to come in and find out all your assets, so they make sure that they keep an eye on how much you have and what you've accumulated, so that way they can make sure that you don't get enough to be able to compete or to dissent against them in any meaningful way. Back to you. Thank you for the time.
You know, that makes me think, like, if we actually started doing this, imagine millions upon millions upon millions of Americans waking up and going, you know what, I no longer consent to this. I no longer agree under penalty of perjury that I am subject to the income tax. Women then look at that and go, you know, hey, government, you don't have people paying into the federal income tax to pay the interest on the money that I'm printing up for you. So therefore, you're not going to be able to pay the interest. So therefore, I'm not going to print the money for you anymore.
Yeah.
Why would the Federal Reserve continue to print money knowing that the U.S. government
they own you already. They
will
own
not
your
be getting the revenue coming in from the federal income tax to pay the interest on it?
They don't care. They own you already. They own your birth certificate. They own your bond. They own all your labor. They'll get it another way.
As long as we allow it.
As long as we allow it, exactly. You know, and but every single other kind of tax can then also be fought, you know. Once people understand the scam that is the income tax, then they'll start to hopefully understand the scam that is the Social Security Ponzi scheme, understand that, you know, hey, you know, your labor is your property, and the government has no right to take your property from you. That's your wealth. That's your property. That's your labor is your property. And they are scamming you out of your own property that way.
Mm-hmm.
Your own personal property also is the independent, self-governing, free person status determining the burdens, encumbrances, and obligations of governing you. That's your private property.
Yeah, but now
too.
You're
going
to get to the point of Sargent's argument, and what I'm trying to say too is, well, what taxes then do you are you going to pay? Are you saying that you shouldn't pay any taxes at all?
Not income taxes, no.
Well, what
sales
makes
taxes,
you what gives you the right? Hang
you know,
on, hang on.
Taxes,
what gives you the right to decide?
You know, that's something that the state, you know, that's not federal government dictating it. The states can implement the sales taxes, and the people can determine on what products and services the state sales tax applies to. Most states have exemptions for food,
okay.
Necessities like that.
Now, okay, well, guess what? That's not going to be enough. There's no way that they're going to be able to balance a budget just on sales tax.
Yeah, but Joe, think about what you're just saying. This balanced budget is based on their ideology of what this balanced budget is supposed to cover. So if they are
not always, John.
They're not even trying to get your opinion on what should be in the budget or not. They're just putting what they want in the budget and paying whoever they want to pay to keep all their little cronies happy so they can keep the scam going.
And they're also
They keep a lot of the people happy too, giving them their food stamp cards, their Social Security. You gonna stop Social Security checks? You realize what devastation that would do to the elderly community in this country?
Well, you probably want to be able
to
figure out how to transition,
you know,
without just creating
most
havoc.
Reasonable libertarians want to phase out Social Security. It's been around for so long and too many people are dependent on it that it needs to be phased out for younger populations. You know, it can be phased out or an opt-in or an opt-out option. And then eventually, like I said, phased out of existence. Nobody wants to cut it off from day one because that would be robbery as well. You know, those of us that have been working for 20, 30, 40 years, paying into it, that would be robbing those people of the Social Security benefit paid into over the years. But if you're somebody that's young and you haven't paid into it this whole time, then opt out of it. start going, okay, we're going to stop taking, we're going to stop mandating this for people that are young. They haven't paid into it. So therefore, they're not going to be in a hardship or dependent on something that they haven't even paid into yet. Right? So, I mean, there's ways
really,
to go about this.
Yeah. Really, you know how much you really actually pay into it? You don't pay enough, really, to get the check that you say you're going to get. When you really think about it, think of all the money they've deducted throughout, you know what I mean? It doesn't equal out to that
amount
anyway.
Imagine if that's your free will.
It depends on the person.
That is your free will. If you don't put money aside for your retirement, let's say 50 years ago, the money that instead of putting into Social Security, you bought physical gold with instead, and you're sitting on this physical gold that you have locked up in a safe, and 50 years later, how much that gold is worth, it's going to be a fuck ton more than the check you get from Social Security, that's for sure.
Yeah,
how many people are going to do that, though? You know? I mean, how many
if
people are really going to do
they
that?
They will. Or...
We don't have
put it in retirement accounts, trust accounts, property, real estate, other kinds of investments.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we have to stop thinking that it's the government's responsibility to protect people from their own stupidity. That's not their job, you know. Where in the Constitution does it say it's the federal government's responsibility to protect people from their own stupidity? Nowhere. It's not their job.
Nope, it's not.
But there's no honesty in no markets right now, so there's no, you can't say that because the honest man can't play in this market right now because you'll get robbed. You know, you just, it's a lot more to it than that. If you remove everything, you know, and say, okay, now go play with what you got. You can't do that because what you got or what you had has been robbed from you.
Therefore, we have to figure out a transition means of being able to, you know, circumvent these corruptions.
Exactly.
Which is not easy.
I think the answer is to continue allowing the government to rob people because they don't know how to function without the systems that have been used to rob them to begin with. You know, that's not a good answer. You know,
right.
Well, we're so dependent on the government robbing us that we can't break free from it. You know, that's not a valid answer.
I don't think we could break free from the chains of debt. It's very, very difficult because the debt indebtedness that we're in right now is a very difficult transition. And you're not, it's just the will of the people. It's just the way the human race is. You're not going to be able to turn people away from what they have today and say, now you have nothing, unless it's forcibly done. And the only way that can be done is through a war or tragedy or a pandemic or something like that. Because you're not going to – nobody's going to agree to be poor. No one's going to do it. And nobody who has money is going to give up their money. It's just not going to happen. People are just too selfish.
We're already poor. The system that's in place, we already have a plethora of poorness. And we're getting poorer and poorer the more this continues. Our wealth
really,
is being stolen out from under our feet. We're already in this mess. You know,
we're
so
already insolvent.
You know, how much worse are we going to make it? You know what I mean? It's just like if we get out of this system and, yeah, we're going to have to sacrifice. But, you know, we're already fucking broke as it is. You know, we're already struggling to buy groceries and struggling to put gas in our cars, struggling to pay the electric bill. We're already, we have more and more homeless people. It's already going downhill, even with all these systems in place that are supposed to be our safety net.
That's
right. It's all
becoming
fraud. So, you know, we can't continue this fraud that is bankrupting us anyway. If we're going to be bankrupt, it's better to be bankrupt and be free and make our own choices and rely on ourselves. You know, to have our own gardens and not have the fucking Department of Agriculture or the FDA on our ass simply because we decided to trade our cucumbers for our neighbor's tomatoes and now the government has to get involved. I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Lorianne, the people that are hard paraplegic or Down syndrome or they're just elderly and can't get around, there's people with good hearts like myself. I reach out and help all kinds of people, but that's, you know, part of what I call the church's responsibility. But at the same time, I'm not going to force everybody else to take care of their fellow man, but I'm going to do my best to carry as many of them as I can.
Absolutely. Charities, churches, maybe instead of having these huge multi-mega million dollar churches, those money donations should actually go toward, I don't know, smaller churches that can afford to help their community.
Whoa.
What a fucking novel idea that is.
Who's going to make that decision, though? Who's going to tell these people they have to do that? That's communism now. You know? They
no,
have a right to
free,
do what they
no.
want. They have
it's
a right to
will.
Do what they want with
you know,
their money.
I don't have to attend a big mega church where I know that when I put money into their coffer, it's only going to go for more million-dollar elaborate structures. I don't have
That's
to
right,
attend
no.
that church. I have a choice. I can go to that small-town church in my own neighborhood and know that, guess what, most of the money that I put into their coffer, they actually do programs that help, you know, gather up clothes for the homeless, have, you know, food banks for people that are poor, help children, help, you know, help their communities. We have the choice to support our local community small church that really actually does help their community versus attending a big mega church where all the money you donate just goes to, you know, the next 24 Garrett Gold fucking, you know, stained glass window. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we
Absolutely.
Have a choice in the matter.
Yeah. And it's like, if you belong to a church, like the one that I belong to here in Albuquerque, last year they gave millions of dollars to people one of them was called Steel Bridge here in Albuquerque that helps homeless people to get back on their feet. They also help an organization that I advertise here is Warriors versus Warriors or Warriors Serving Warriors, where they help veterans who are homeless to get themselves on their feet. And, you know, and the church doesn't only do it in this area, they do it around the world too. So, you know, and because of that, my church is growing. And as long as you're in a church and you're giving money to the church, it is your obligation to figure out, okay, what's the church doing with my money? And if they're not doing what you think they should be doing or what they say they're doing, then stop giving money to them.
And that goes for charities as well. You know, if you want to fucking waste money, donate to the American Red Cross. Because
that's a communist organization.
American Red Cross. Exactly. You know, I mean, we have a choice. Now imagine if we weren't having to pay all of this money in income taxes, if we weren't having 20 to 30% of our money taken from us, that is that much money that the American people could decide to donate to. We are a
you
very
really think
giving
they
people.
Would?
We
you
cannot.
Think they would?
We cannot underestimate how giving the American people are. When we have more money in our pocket, we tend to give more money toward organizations that help our community.
Yeah,
we
know.
Do. I mean, you know, not everybody,
that.
But we tend to. We tend to. I know I do. When I was employed and I got extra overtime and I got extra money, I donated a lot more toward my local, you know, humane society, my local, you know, local organizations for homelessness, for veteran affairs. I donated a hell of a lot more money every time I had extra income. The American people tend to be very giving in our nature. And that's exactly why they're exploited to donate to organizations like the American Red Cross and these big, huge charitable organizations that actually spend more money on paying their top bigwigs and administrative expenses instead of actually benefiting the community that people are trying to donate toward. But, you know, that's, of course, people need to be more aware of this stuff. Be more conscious about who you're donating your hard-earned money for. But I know I was. I would, if I had the money right now, there are people that I would help out, even with the, you know, I don't even care about the tax donation. You know, I see, you know, Facebook friends that are struggling, and if I had the money, and when I did have the money, I would help them. I know I'm not going to get a tax fucking, you know, deduction off of it. I don't care. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, yeah, I earned some extra overtime. Here's $50, you know. I know you need it. You have a big expense that came up, you know, whatever, you know, you're in a situation. I would help my friends out, you know, I would help people out. And I think a lot of us are like that. So we can't underestimate the natural giving nature that Americans really do have. You know, we become more selfish. The more our government takes money away from us, the more broke they make us, the more selfish we're forced to become because we don't have that extra money to give. We have to focus on ourselves. It's like, you know, it's forcing us to be more selfish. And that's the truly sad part about it. It's conditioning us to be selfish and only look out for ourselves because they're taking so much damn money from us in taxes that we can't afford to think about anybody but ourselves.
Yeah, well, right at the moment.
I'm reading my first grade report card here.
we're down to the last 3 minutes of my overtime section. So,
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Yes.
Yeah.
What happened? The pumpkins.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's always in the last hours. I'm such a night owl. I finally fucking wake up when it's yellow light. That's when I get to talking. How funny is that?
Well, I want to just say to everybody, this essentially has been a great show. We've covered some great information, especially that voter information, comprehensive voter thing. And now that I've got a good copy of that, I'm going to start sending that sucker out. This state needs it in the worst way. But,
I gave my first grade teacher a dozen roses when I was I didn't even I forgot all about that. Said it on the back here. She wrote me a note. She said, thank you for the roses. They look good in my living room. Have a great summer. My first grade teacher, 1980.
And Joe Gibson, I want to thank you. I want to thank you as well because you started the voter integrity proposal thing and then tossed it over the fence to me and just kind of let me run with it. And your feedback, you're like, no, this is great. This is great. This is great. You know, including the press release. So I want to thank you for allowing me to contribute to it as I have, and it's a privilege and an honor to be able to do it, and I hope that it becomes helpful. I hope that it takes off.
It'll be a success.
I hope so.
Yeah.
As long as, we just got to get everybody else motivated. You know, if everyone else was motivated and takes the time that we put into it, then I don't see reason why it can't. See, that's what I'm saying. You lead by example. And we spent a lot of time on this. And if everyone else spends that much time or even half as much as that time trying to get the message out now and do their part, then, like I said, everybody's their own leader here. Do your thing, man. We gave each other the tools. Now use it. And let's see, we got a voice on these platforms. Use it, you know. Yep. So here we go. Let's do it, and let's make a change.
Yep, and this is a
exactly.
good start.
Exactly. I mean, if you would have asked me a year ago, you know, that I would be doing this, I would have been like, what, really? You know, but here I am, you know. So trying to contribute in my own way. And
now we're down to our last 30
seconds. I definitely thank you for that.
So we're down to our last 20 seconds. So I thank you guys for this, and God bless you all. And get my ending song started up, and we'll talk to you next time and see you on the next shows.
All right.
Yep, I'm going to make my way over to Ron Reck's show after this. So maybe we'll all meet up there.
Yep, and I'll see you there. We'll talk to you after a little bit, and God bless you all. You all.